of the iHeartMedia Complex on WTKS-FM, HD1, Cocoa Beach, Orlando. Available anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app. Download it now. Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed. And now, the Phillips File.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Yeah, it is. Hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It is the start of the Phillips File. This one for Tuesday. That's Tuesday, November 13th in the year 2018. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jim Phillips here once again to take your phone calls and listen to your stuff. Whatever your stuff might happen to be, news and current events, we could do that. We could talk about your life. Feel free to talk about mine. And of course, we'll find so many other things to discuss this afternoon. We always do. So take part in the most listened to, the most popular, the most widely heard, the highest rated radio program of its kind in the entire state of Florida. You can pick us up on iHeartRadio. Go to realradio.fm. That's our website. Check that out. And then, of course, send us a text on anything at any time. That's Real Mobile 77031. I promise we'll read it. As a matter of fact, we have a producer for the day today. What's his name, Tom? Is Tom the producer
for
the day?
Yep.
Yeah, he can read the nasty texts that come in and then decide whether we want to use them on the air. And if we're going to do anything, put them to work. So there we go. Let's see, what else do we have going on here? Jack's here, Pinkman is here, Fritz is helping out, Mo has the day off. After all that stuff, right after the news with Pinkman and Fritz, we'll have a bonus round of Closest to the Pin, your opportunity to win good fortune for the rest of your life or bad luck for 24 hours. Got Jack's audio file today, regular round of Closest to the Pin, all that good stuff. And a little chit-chat here and there, and then some drive-home music and PPT to wrap things up before we hand it over to Tom and Dan. All right. A lot of talk about this. Well, I want to talk about coffee later on, but there's a lot of conversation about this school photo out of Wisconsin where it shows these high school students in Baraboo. Is that how you pronounce it? Baraboo, Wisconsin?
Yes.
Which is sad. You just say Baraboo and you're going, that's in the middle of nowhere, right? Baraboo. Okay. Yep. That, you know, up there, Lake Whitefish up that way.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, it gets real cold
Oh, my God almighty. You know, going to go out there and get some walleye or something. And anyway, so this photo, they have a photograph. A news junkie was talking about it. And, I've noticed it, and there's a story here and there, whatever. It's getting a lot of attention because these students are standing there for a photograph, and they have, it's hard to make out in this particular photo I have, but, you know, they have their right arm up and extended, and the photo shows these students, many, it appears that many of them are making a Nazi salute, you know, the old straight arm, you know, fingers extended. A salute.
Yes.
And, you know, some are kind of like a half-ass, whatever you want to call it. Like, so I don't know what the photographers, people are still trying to figure this out. I mean, did the photographer say, okay, guys.
Wave to me?
Yeah. And on the count of three, I want everybody to do the old Heil Hitler thing, okay? You know, the old Nazi salute.
Three.
They just said, I want everybody, raise your right arm and wave it around a little bit, like, hey, here I am for the photograph. And then you got a couple of buttheads, you know, thought it would be, not a couple, more than a couple, but many of them in the photograph, I guess, who thought it would be a good idea. Hey, you know, let's give them the old Heil Hitler thing, you know, with the arm fully extended.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure. I mean, the school district in Wisconsin, they're flipping out the Auschwitz Birkenau Memorial and Museum in Poland. They've responded to this by directing the school district's attention to its online lesson plans, which include resources on the consequences of normalizing symbols of hate. and I don't want to be flip about this, but let me just say this about that. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to be so stupid to give the old Nazi salute, well, give it the Nazi salute, all right? Instead, it's straight, you know, it's just, you know, it's straight out there.
Yeah, nut up or shut up, bro.
I'm not suggesting that you should do that by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know.
Don't half-ass it, full-ass
it. Yeah, if you're gonna go Nazi, I guess so we know who you are. If you're gonna go Nazi, then go full Nazi, will you please? Yeah. So we know who you are. None of this half-ass stuff. I don't know if you know.
Do we know they weren't praying for the photographer?
I have.
Roman
Catholic thing, as opposed to the Pentecostal. You know, where they get the both arms up
both
there
arms
like
up,
that.
But in church, and I every time it happens, I just it makes me feel
weird.
Extend a hand in prayer, and it basically looks like the whole church doing a Nazi symbol.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this photograph, and you know, there's a good number of them. You know, got that arm extended, and you're saying, okay, I'm pretty sure I know what that means. And then you got others who are, I think, maybe saying to themselves, because it's half extended, they're going, I don't know if this is such a hot idea. Then there's one. Or maybe a couple who said, I'm not doing this at all. I'm not getting involved in that at all. The point that I'm trying to make, I suppose, is, and maybe we can get the text coming in. We'll have Tom check them out. Tom, if they're saying anything nasty about me in the text, you just throw them in the can, all right? You dispose of them. You can read them and laugh. And as a matter of fact, you could get more nasty texts than you will otherwise. But what I'm trying to say is, there's certain things you need to tell your kids. Things that are wrong and just inappropriate, right?
Correct.
We know the use of the N-word is wrong.
Correct.
It's inappropriate. Let's add to the list.
Got that, Pinkman?
A Nazi salute is never good unless, you know, I mean, if it's your choice. You know, if you want to join one of these white militia groups, you know, one of these white nationalist groups, that's your thing. Just let us know who you are, all right? But otherwise, normal folk. You got to tell your kids this is not going to work out for you. All right, that's never a good idea. You know, whether fun or jest or anything to give the old Heil Hitler, the old Third Reich salute. Okay, you just don't do that. I'm trying to think of some other things you need to tell your kids when they're grown up. You just don't do that. You know, if you're smart and if you grow up with a sense of right and wrong. There's certain things I'm here to tell you because, you know, you're a teenager, so we just have to tell you right off the bat, you're stupid. You know, the frontal cortex has not formed completely.
It's
still got
sponge.
some real soft tissue in there, right, that hasn't formed, so you can make the right decision-making, can't engage in the right decision-making process. For some of us, it takes a little bit longer. But we all know that teenagers make mistakes. I mean, they're just they just don't know any better many times. So you have to tell them, right? You just, you know, maybe this doesn't make any sense to you, Johnny, right now. But I'm just here to tell you, and we're going to mark it down. And I don't want to do one of those "so I told you so." But anybody, you don't get dressed up like a Nazi. And for your high school photo, you know, you're out there in your cheap suit. And a photographer says, okay, everybody, Nazi salute time. You just don't do it.
Yeah, that's when you walk away.
Yeah, you just don't. You put it, you know, I don't get it. But take a look at the photograph. I think some of them say, I'm not doing that. I'd give the old wave, you know, And not for nothing, and I don't mean to be flip again, but I mean, if you're a Nazi, is it because I'm left-handed? Is it okay for left-handed Nazis to give the old left-hand thing?
So
or is it always right-hand?
You couldn't manage to like do it with your non-dominant hand?
I'm just asking.
Yeah, what if he's incapable? You're going to discriminate because of that?
Right. Why don't you try, and producer Tom, why don't you take a picture of the Remember Jim by? He'll be doing a Nazi salute. Okay.
Take his phone away. Take his camera away right now.
Disgraced in retirement.
Yeah, I'd like to say right now, it's inappropriate. Tell your kids. I mean, you just need to point these things out. It's never appropriate. It's never good. It is wrong to give that salute, all right? These are people... Nazis, who are responsible for the deaths of millions of Jews and gypsies and academics and artists, and took this country's, as they would say, greatest generation, you know, to put a stop to that nonsense. It took a few years, but you know, they did. And unfortunately, nowadays, especially in Europe, there seems to be a resurgence in this nationalism, brought on by various reasons, but a return to the thought process of this is okay. So just ixnay on the Nazi salute, if you don't mind, and tell your kids and try to instruct your kids, all right?
Hey, what's going on?
Those bums won their court case, so they're marching today.
What bums?
Nazi party.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
A Nazi! I knew it! You're all in cahoots! Let me tell you something, Mr. Heine Kraut. I fought your kind in the great. We kicked the living out of you. Over there. Send the word over there.
It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. By the way, the last live edition of the Phillips File is next Tuesday with a tribute show Wednesday before Thanksgiving. The following Thursday and Friday will be best of shows. Then the Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th at 3 p.m. And then I can climb to the top of the building and scream. Mo's not here today. Let's get the news with Mr. Pinkman and Fritz.
Jim, the California wildfires are a record-setting set of fires. 42 dead so far. That toll is expected to rise. Authorities have moved to set up a rapid DNA analysis system and bring in cadaver dogs, mobile morgues, and more search teams in an intensified effort to find and identify the victims of the deadliest wildfire in California history.
Can I ask a macabre question? Yes. Like 200 people are missing, by the way. They haven't been accounted for.
Jesus.
But a cadaver dog, I guess I should ask Daryl Payne, a cadaver dog could...
I believe...
Even after the body has been burned as if it was in a crematorium?
Yeah, even just bone?
I believe they're able to sniff out dead bodies.
Just asking. How's Tom doing in there? Don't touch any buttons there, Tom. Tom's our producer for the day, all right?
He hasn't gotten too crazy yet.
No.
He's going to put that needle in his arm before 7, I'll tell you that right now.
He's keeping an eye on the texting service. He's just, you know, flooding the information. No. He's like, am I waiting for something positive to come through?
Exactly. Okay.
Keep waiting, Tom.
Why are these people so aggressive?
You got a long wait, Tom. A long, long wait. Fritz, what do you got?
Well, I've got the recount, you know, as Florida.
Oh, wait a minute. You have anything else to add to the fire story, which is absolutely horrible? I can't imagine. You see the video of this stuff, and...
So...
I don't know what you would do. I mean, what do you... You've lost everything. You've lost your home. You lost your car. You lost... The only thing you have are the clothes on your back.
Right.
What do you do?
The town of Paradise, they have a population or had a population of 27,000. They're still unsure of the exact number missing.
Where did I read that in Paradise alone, 6,400 dwellings burned down?
Yeah, their whole
town. I think the whole town burned down.
Yeah. The mayor and all his cohorts lost their homes as well.
God bless them.
So they're looking, but they're expecting to find some more dead bodies in that search. Over to you, Fritz.
Thank you. And less macabre, as Jim said, news. Nice. The Florida, I guess it's a recount. It's more like just a count, an official count, but it is a recount. Rick Scott heads to Washington, D.C. this week to get acclimated to his new role as a senator, and he is calling on Bill Nelson to resign. He says, "We won the election. I'm looking forward to it, but what does Bill Nelson want to do? Does he want to be painted as the guy who wouldn't go away when he was voted out by the people of Florida? Rick Scott currently leads with 12,562 votes, or 0.15 percentage points of about 8.2 million votes.
Yeah, the recount's underway, but this Rick Scott, the outgoing governor of Florida, who will become Florida's junior U.S. senator, he's a piece of work, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're throwing out all these charges of foul play, and it's like, dude, you know, this is not the way to go into the upper chamber of Congress. This is a very small club, so to speak, of individuals. You know, you march into there with that kind of attitude, they'll shun you is what they'll do. Why would you send out a spokesman? Send out a lawyer. Why would you want to be the guy out there who's leveling all these charges of, by the way, there's no evidence whatsoever to substantiate or support the charges?
Right.
Good riddance. Go to Washington. Get the hell out of Florida. Leave us alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, why not, though?
You have Bill Nelson just sending his lawyer out to make statements, and then Rick Scott, every chance he gets, is getting in front of the
camera. Ron DeSantis is in a recount, and he's just staying in the bay. You know, he knows he's going to be the governor. These recounts never change, especially with a vote margin that much. I don't. This Scott.
Yeah, Gillum withdrew his resignation, right? Or concession. That was, I think, Saturday.
Yeah, well, why not? Yeah,
they're still counting. They're not even sure they're going to meet the deadline for the recount.
But what I'm trying to say is, it's like, dude, it wasn't like you won by 15 percentage points. You only won by a smidge. You know, this could turn another 6 years, could turn the other direction, unless God help us, he decides to run for president.
On track.
This is crazy. If the machine recount results in a similar 0.15 percentage points away, you know, I guess difference, that'll be within the 0.25% that would trigger an automatic hand recount of over or under votes.
Here we go again.
Ballots that either mark too many choices or just left it blank.
Well, they got major problems in Broward County, but that's a hot mess down there anyway. But there's no evidence to suggest it's just a screwed up county as far as voting, but there's no evidence to suggest there's foul play.
Yep. On over to you,
Scott,
Pinky.
Please, come on.
Thank you, Fritzy. CNN is now suing the Trump administration. They're demanding that correspondent Jim Acosta gets his credentials back.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
Under the claim that the revocation of his credentials violates the constitutional right of freedom of the press.
Revocation or revocation?
I'd say revocation.
What does Tom say?
Tom?
Leave it up to him. Make a decision, Tom. You know, he's in charge here, though. Revocation or revocation?
Revocation.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much. Tom's a smart man.
Clearly,
yes,
he's smarter than me. I still don't know what he does for a living, though.
Is it
maybe he's a spy and he doesn't want to tell you.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce, is it applicable or applicable?
I always say applicable. Tom, what do you say? Applicable or applicable?
Check.
Applicable.
There you go. Nice. He's a smart man.
He's the end-all, be-all of pronunciations.
He's a smart man because he agreed with Fritz.
How rude. So the administration stripped Acosta of his press pass following President Donald Trump's contentious news conference last week, where Acosta refused to give up the microphone when the president said he didn't want to hear anything more from him.
I mean, Acosta, he's rude. He can be strong-willed. He reminds me of Sam Donaldson, who used to be the White House correspondent for ABC. You know, that's part of the deal. You know, if you want to be, you're a public servant, you're the president of the United States, man up and answer the question. That's all. If you want to go back and forth and duke it out verbally, then duke it out with Acosta. Go back and forth. It's not going to hurt our democracy. He's not the king. It's not a monarchy. You know, as long as you're not throwing things at the president, and I wouldn't suggest you do.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
You don't like the question? You're rude. Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
Pot calling the kettle black.
Sarah Sanders said it is just more grandstanding from CNN, and we will vigorously defend against his lawsuit.
Okay, so it's grandstanding. So what? It's still a question. You can answer the question or not. Petulant. Man, what, my helicopter? I can't fly my helicopter. And by the way, he didn't show up at Arlington yesterday for the Veterans Day observances, like every president has, rain or shine, to show up and lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. President Baby decided, for whatever reason, I think it was raining or misting or something, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do that either. You would think veterans groups would be outraged.
Yeah, they're indifferent.
I don't think they're indifferent. I think it's like, wait a minute. You didn't want to visit the American cemetery in France because you couldn't ride in your helicopter? Couldn't take a car?
I haven't heard any groups coming out and outwardly saying it. That's why I say that.
Well, I said it. And then, I mean, this is a big deal, you know, putting a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, right? Isn't that on Veterans Day? That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Or Memorial Day, definitely.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Hey, Jim, had a question about what cadaver dogs could smell. And while our dog expert, Daryl, we didn't hear from, but we did hear from a cadaver expert, Don Price, who was just here a week ago. He said, yes, a cadaver dog can still smell. Cremation is 1,200 degrees plus. Regular fires are way lower. So to the dogs, they smell like barbecue.
What? Barbecue?
It's not incinerating. It's not cremated remains, you know, because there's a lot more to it.
Oh, you can smell a cadaver, yes. but I'm talking about because these people who burned up in California.
Right.
I think there's no trace of them. I mean, they might as well have been put into a crematorium.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not 1,200
degrees
not just,
plus?
Huh?
Over 1,200 degrees?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yee.
There's a really bad video going around of this guy who went back to his neighborhood and he's just walking around and you could tell he's in shock and it's pretty hard.
Oh, they tell
to watch.
People they see people were running on fire. They were on fire. These animals, wild animals, coming out of the woods on fire. They've got a car showing up at the evacuation centers with the paint blistered off
and the
plastic bumpers melted off. Jeez, and you think you're having a bad day. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
It's a Real Radio sports special. NBA basketball. The Orlando Magic take on LeBron James and the Lakers this Saturday. Coverage starts at 6:30 p.m. on Real Radio 104.1.
From the Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th. By that time, I will be long gone.
That's all, folks.
Bo's not here today. Back to the news with Pinkman and Fritz.
Thank you, Jim.
When am I going to get that cease and desist?
Who knows?
We have a National Food Day today.
Yeah, what is it?
It is, and I'm not really sure what it is, National Indian Pudding Day.
I have no idea.
Don't it know says, what that is.
Yeah, it sounds like...
Chutney?
No, chutney's chutney.
Could it be a chutney, is what I'm saying?
No, it I don't can't think be a chutney.
Pudding can't be a chutney. Pudding is a pudding.
This says it is a baked custard with milk, butter, molasses, eggs, spices, and cornmeal.
Probably got some cloves in there, you know?
I'd imagine.
Thinking some cloves, maybe?
I mean, what else would flavor it?
Yeah,
well, maybe some nutmeg?
Else.
Well, now they're taking to calling it Native American pudding instead of Indian pudding.
No. It's Indian pudding. There is no Native American pudding.
I'm just telling you what the Google tells
me. Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe what would they make it out of? Buffalo? I mean, what the... what would you...
Does it have gelatin in it? Like
no.
Oh.
It's got molasses, cornmeal. Oh, there is cinnamon and nutmeg.
Oh, you're, points.
Yeah, and, you're thinking of Jell-O.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, pudding's with a dairy product, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said eggs.
Milk
custard.
Is the main part.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm thinking of
it. It's Indian.
Horse hooves.
Like the Punjab pudding.
If you say so.
Very popular in any Indian restaurant for desserts.
Oh, the Punjab pudding?
I've noticed on the menu you don't have Punjab pudding, but maybe you could whip some up in the back for me.
It's a holiday
boss,
delight.
Let me get on that.
Suckers.
Make sure you ask.
Punjab pudding. I got to ask for Punjab pudding. Anyway, what else you got?
Over to you, Fritz.
Oh, that okay. Well,
yeah,
Indian pudding
that.
Day. Trump man strikes again, Jim, and this man gets rebanned from Disney. Dion Cheney, he went down Splash Mountain holding a Trump 2020 sign, and then he went down Expedition Everest with a Keep America Great sign. He has been rebanned by Disney after unfurling a huge Trump banner at the Main Street train station in the Magic Kingdom just 6 weeks ago.
Dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, remember that?
Let's not, you know, come on.
Yeah,
it's the Magic Kingdom.
I guess Disney had a change of heart and they said, well, you know, he's an annual pass holder. They just said, they let him back in with the caveat that if he promised not to display any more political banners, he would be fine because it's a politics-free zone there.
I think so. I think that's probably recognized by all sides, don't you think?
Yeah. Till you get into that Hall of Presidents.
Warren G. Harding.
William Howard Taft.
Yeah.
Just trying to enjoy some nice air conditioning in the middle of the hot afternoon.
Yeah, you have to hear Coolidge talk again.
Millard Fillmore.
Yeah. Ew.
God.
Grover Cleveland.
Twice him. Two non-consecutive terms. Give it up, Cleveland. Anyway, it's unlikely he's going to get his annual pass back now.
Yeah, it said he'd been a pass holder for like 24 years or something.
Yeah, gee, I don't think I'll lose my pass over this.
They know
my privileges because I unfurled the political banner at the Magic.
So he did it twice.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, this guy likes to be a complete asshole, though, because he has an 18-foot skull in New York's Upper West Side that he just sails out the down the Hudson River with a huge flag that reads Trump 2020.
It's an 18-foot what?
Skull?
You know, like a rowboat.
I thought you were talking about
a giant bong. Like a skeleton head bomb.
Yeah, man.
A head pipe.
Look at my 18-foot skull, dude.
He also he told WFTV he also plans to unveil a 50-foot Trump banner somewhere in the U.S.
Well, they might take you down in the tunnel, you know.
Oh, the Disney tunnel.
You don't want to go down in the tunnel.
Oh, don't go into the tunnel.
Yeah, ain't nobody.
People have gone into that tunnel and never been heard from again.
Nobody dies on property. You get what I'm saying?
Here's the thing, though. Disney said
that... Chump. What are you doing with the banner?
Disney said it was a safety issue. That kind of sounds like a cop-out, right? It's just a banner.
No, it's a safety issue because people get pissed off.
Yeah.
They go there and said, you know, one of the reasons why people go there, whether Republican, Democrat, somewhere in between, is they you know, just a little bit of relief from the politics and all the emotion involved with that. You know, you unfurl that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know how people are with politics nowadays.
Yeah.
They get all torqued off.
Yeah.
Over to you, Pinky.
Thank you, Fritzy.
What a dope. Look at me. Look at me. I got my Trump banner. All right, we're looking at you. So what? What do you want us to do now? I think I'll switch political parties now that they saw this butthead unfurl his banner.
Yeah, right? People save up their whole life to come to Disney World, and they have to deal with a guy trying to inject his politics.
Yeah, they want to get a photograph, you know, the kid, a photograph with Cinderella, you know, at the castle, and this jerk-off's running around with his MAGA banner. God almighty, come on, man.
Oh, what a guy. Anyway, he's...
Tom, got any texts? What text does he have?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Tom.
Yeah, my
Let me have it, baby.
Okay, Jim. First one comes from a listener. He says, good morning, Tom, or good afternoon, Tom. Welcome to the Phillips File. It's a pleasure to have you. Hope they finally give you a mic so we can hear that you have a real name and input to the show.
Okay.
Cool. There you go.
There you go, Tom.
He's off and running.
Good
Tom.
He has another text.
And we got one more.
Yeah.
I've listened to the Phillips File for 18 years now, and even though some of your political crap makes me shake my head in disbelief, I really and truly enjoy your show. I wish you all well in the future endeavors, and I will miss a lot of the things about your show on a daily basis.
Aww.
That's good, Tom.
When he shakes his head, right? Yeah. Enjoy the holidays.
You're writing some good text there, Tom. I appreciate
it. He's not writing.
You're doing a good job, Tom.
Lucky I can read my own handwriting. Yeah.
But then, Jim, you said, what advice do you give your kids, right?
Yeah, so we got one of them wrote in and said, don't be silly, wrap your willy. That's what I teach my kids.
Wait a minute, are you saying that, or is that what the texter said?
No, that's from the texter, Jim.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
I wanted to say it, but I was too slow.
Well, this guy's going to be good.
Yeah, he's great already.
Italian Tom.
We also got somebody jumping on the Nazi story.
Yeah, what'd they say?
They're claiming that they interviewed the photographer on TV this morning, and he claims that he told all the students to wave goodbye.
Yeah.
So that's what they're saying.
No.
Well, maybe the photographer did, but they had a, you know, maybe they had an agreement among the... brown shirts there. Hey, let's give them the old all Heil Hitler.
We got one lame joke, too. The texter writes in and says, how does Hitler tie his shoelaces?
Oh, God, wait. Did you read this beforehand, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, Tom, give me the punchline.
With little Nazis.
There you go. Okay, good job. Some more news there, Fritz and Mr. Pinkman.
Yes, sir. Amazon is opening a new headquarters. They're doing HQ number 2, Electric Boogaloo. They decided they will put their second headquarters not in New York City, but in Northern Virginia. They said the second headquarters will create about 50,000 new jobs Presumably, that's about 25,000 in each headquarter location. But they say there's also about $5 billion in investment capital coming to the regions as well. So Long Island City and Arlington, Virginia are getting their own Amazon headquarters.
What's your hourly wage at Amazon, do you think? I mean, you're just putting boxes here, putting, you shove them over this, direct them that way?
I think they up to 15.
An hour? 15.
Yeah, I think they were the one of the companies.
Well,
that
it's fine if you're in East Bajip, but if you're
in New York.
Yeah, what is that going to do?
Yeah, you're going to have to drive all the way back to LaGuardia to live in your shipping container.
Yeah, Amazon raises minimum wage to $15 for all U.S. workers.
I thought, you ever seen some of these houses they make out of shipping containers and they stack them and
they're
they connect
cool.
them?
They're
cool, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And you can buy, I mean, you can steal one of those pod units, the portable on-demand.
No one's advocating that.
I'm not
that.
Advocating that, but you totally can. You can just take one. Make
no,
it
you can't. You can't get, they all have ID, they have a
tracking.
Like a barcode, a tracking device.
A little tile device.
Know someone who has a fork lift license put on the...
How big is the forklift? Do you know how big a forklift would have to be to pick up one of those things?
It would have to be really big, actually. All right, I take that back. You can buy one.
Maybe they're, you can. I don't know.
You need one of those dock worker lifts.
Oh, yeah.
That comes down from the top.
Exactly.
And then you have to be unionized to use that. So good luck, Fritz.
Oh, yeah. Can't talk about unions.
You got to be a longshoreman.
What is a longshoreman?
Works the docks.
They're just throwing things in and out of things all day?
You're moving containers in and off boats.
You're working the docks. You're working the wharves.
Is that kind of like civil engineering? You have to know where one shipping container is going and which one's replacing it.
And what's his name? Have a song about that or a line about work? And who's it? Bon Jovi?
Artie Lang.
Didn't Bon Jovi have something?
All the New Jersey guys did.
I don't know. I don't listen to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I don't know. I know Artie Lang was one, though.
That's true.
He was a longshoreman?
Yep.
Now you pay your union dues and then you wait in the union hall.
You're like a stock boy on the docks.
Yeah, kind of.
You're paid a lot better.
Yeah, you paid well, and
get some physical
you
got
to be
exercise.
A tough guy to be a longshoreman. Yeah. You can't be some.
Oh yeah, tough,
thin
strong
bone weakling and a longshoreman. You can't do that.
Yeah, you got
might have
point.
To be a little bit connected too, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You got to know
union.
People.
It's union.
Oh, Bon Jovi says something about longshoremen in the song "Living on a Prayer."
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That sing is it, point. Pinky.
What's the lyric?
Or have Tom sing it.
How about some points for, geez, Jim said Bon Jovi. It's about...
Okay, points. Thank but you. Not towards Fritz on the street. Tommy's the one that works on the docks. Gina worked in a diner or something.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, just because Tommy works on the docks?
What does that mean?
If he's working on the docks in that part of the country, he's a longshoreman.
You don't work the docks.
You're union or you don't work at all.
What if he was a prostitute, Jim?
What?
What if he sold his body?
Yeah, that's how he's working on the docks.
Yeah.
To the longshoreman.
It's not everyone's cup of tea, but it pays.
Well, what does it pay?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's not unionized, I'll tell you that much right now.
Jesus, man.
Not in most states, at least.
Only in Nevada.
Only in Jersey.
Next. Over to you, Fritz.
Oh, my God. Jim, you want some, uplifting news, happy news, or just some news?
Just give me whatever you got there,
well,
Fritz. whatever you got. Give me your best.
This is kind of cool. A legally blind football fan his name is Jamie Dougal, an Omaha native. He's always been a huge football fan, and he loves to watch the University of Nebraska play, but he's been forced to just kind of listen to his games because the 37-year-old man is legally blind. He can't see the ball, but... thanks to a special new breakthrough in technology, he has virtual glasses now, and he watched his first football game.
Get out of here.
Isn't that crazy?
That is a pretty bit crazy.
That's something I never knew I was going to see in my life, unquote.
Did he cry?
He probably did, yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
I would have cried.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
And I've asked this question. Well, I haven't asked it in about 20 years, but I'll ask it now. Tell me your thoughts, or if there's an expert in the audience. Which is rare. So let's say you're blind.
Yes.
You've never been able to see. And then they do some kind of surgery. You open up your eyelids, you can see. And the surgeon has a volleyball or kickball. It doesn't matter. And he throws it to you. Would you You think you'd be able to catch it?
Your depth perception might not be engaged yet.
Yeah, because you need two eyes for depth perception, but you can see with one. I mean, you know, if both are working.
No, but if you were blind your whole life and your depth perception hasn't kicked in yet right away, you probably would
not
be
able to catch
it.
You wouldn't have a clue, right? You wouldn't just...
Yeah, you'd do that thing where your arms go across and then the ball hits you in the face.
Yeah, maybe. But it's a volleyball. I mean, that thing's like catching a house coming at you.
You have eyes.
Right.
Well, you've been able to see your whole life.
Yeah. It's that seeing privilege that you have.
Yeah, sight privilege. Jeez. Keeping us blind people down.
Would he have to give up his dog?
Give up a dog? Now a dog comes into play in this situation.
Well, if you're blind and you have a dog as a, you know, leading the blind, all of a sudden, boom.
Gotcha.
Hey, wow, I can see. Well, all right. You know, the dog back.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
You can't take my dog away.
Hopefully,
give it to someone else.
Then your dog can go into retirement and live its life as a normal dog.
I'm just wondering. So, well, you know, these dogs are reserved for blind people, and you can see now, so there's no reason for you to have the dog. We're going to have to take the dog away. Not to worry. We're going to send him to that farm upstate.
This begs the question, how many years do seeing eye dogs work before they're retired?
I don't know if they're ever retired.
Do they work until their 70s in dog years?
Maybe so until they drop.
Well, that's sad.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but what are you going to do?
Don't worry, they're unionized.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
They're working under
the docks.
You get smoke breaks every 15 minutes.
The Tuesday we don't have Daryl is filled with dog questions.
It worked
what
out.
Can they smell? How long do seeing eye dogs work?
Yeah, if he were, well, that's very interesting. Yes, that, Jim.
Oh, I'm just wondering, you know.
It's on point.
I mean, well, I wonder if they tell you that. Look, we have surgery, and there's a 99% chance that you'll be able to see. And then you say, what about my dog?
Well, you can't keep your dog. This movie would write itself, I feel.
It already has.
See, that's what happens. He sees, but he knows, you know, they say, well, I'm sorry. Somebody will be in just a couple of minutes to take your dog, and then they make the great escape. And he can do it because he can see.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately, he gets in a car, and his depth perception is way off.
Well, maybe the dog's driving.
Okay.
Get in, James. Let's go.
Okay.
All of a sudden,
home, James.
Air Bud.
Home.
He starts attacking them. Okay.
All right, a couple of more stories.
All right,
we'll do some birthdays.
I got like one more for you. Some Florida strip clubs will be giving away 3,000 turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Get out.
Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs once again will be giving away 3,000 turkeys to families in need for Thanksgiving. This is their annual Thanksgiving giveaway of 10 to 14 pound birds. Begins at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday. In club parking lots in Hallandale Beach, Pompano Beach, and West Palm Beach.
Hey, at least you don't have to send your kids inside.
Yeah. In the parking lot.
They never come out.
Dad goes inside. Kids stay outside with the turkey.
15-year-old kid goes in there.
Hi.
They never get them out.
Oh, boy.
I'm here for the turkey.
An hour and a half later, what took you so long? Well, I mean, you know, there were forms, honey. You know,
their way through college, Mom.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's important to support them.
The hardworking girls that had, you know, just trying to get the degree, and then they're out of the biz.
Yeah. You want to do some birthdays?
Sure, what do you got?
All right, don't look, Tom, because you're playing. Right now.
Who's laughing? Was that Tom?
That was Tom.
Okay.
I'm trying to get Tom not to look at my computer. We have, first up, Gerard Butler.
Oh, Gerard Butler.
Who's Gerard Butler? He's an actor.
Yes.
What's he been in?
300.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay.
You want Tom to go first?
No, I'll go first.
You go first?
Yeah, he's 43.
52. 52,
what
he
the
said.
Hell?
Fritz, you playing?
Yeah, I'll say 46.
51.
I think Jack's closest. He is 49.
Yeah, I'll take it. Points.
No, lame. Go with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, I know who she is. I will say she is 62.
Oof. No, she's, believe it or not, Whoopi is now 65.
Tom?
64.
Damn it.
Whoopi is 60 on the dot.
You had a very obvious window to jump through. She's 63. Now I'm mad at you, and I'm going
to
bully
you. Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm going to bully you after work.
How rude. I'm gonna kneecap you.
Point.
And Fat Tony from The Simpsons, Joe Mantegna.
Oh.
Mantegna or Mantegna?
Mantegna. Mantegna. I will say he is 67. Tom, you want to go?
That's good.
71, Tom.
On the money.
Get out of here, Tom! You know what Tom.
You know what Tom gets?
Yes. Money, magic.
All right, he fell
alive. Oh, jeez. He's going to, give him a couple, 3 more hours. He won't want to leave.
Yes, awesome.
Okay, we'll take a little break. When we come back, it'll be a bonus round of closest to the pin. We'll open up the lines, pick one of you at random, and you can either choose Mr. Pinkman or Fritz to win. If you choose correctly, good fortune for the rest of your life. You choose incorrectly, it's bad luck for 24 hours. Next on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From the...
And now the Phillips File presents a game that is not about being right or wrong.
Wrong!
It's a game that rewards the lucky.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get late.
It's a game where you just have to be close.
That's right, you've got that right.
The game is closest to the pin.
Let's go while we're young.
And now, here's your ever-excited host, Jim Phillips.
I got that right, you got that right, you got that right. And is Thomas our producer for the day?
Yeah, he is.
How much did you bid for this gig?
$400.
Oh my God!
Bless your heart.
We're gonna have to be nicer to him, I think.
Exactly.
I've been an angel.
Tom came over from Melbourne, and we just found out that his wife is sitting in the car down in the parking lot. You know, like a dog.
Like a chauffeur.
You want to call the police so they can use their baton? Come on. Bring her up here, you know?
Jim, it's okay. I rolled the windows down.
Well, that's just good, solid thinking right there.
This guy's got a future. I like you.
Yep.
I like you. All right, time for that bonus round of closest to the pin. Dan is going to pick either Mr. Pinkman, Mr. Fritz to win. They go head to head. If he picks correctly, good fortune for the rest of his life. If he picks incorrectly, Dan will have to face 24 hours of bad luck. Dan, what do you want to do, Pinkman or Fritz? Oh, that didn't sound right. Who are you going to choose?
Yeah,
Pinkman
or Fritz?
I'll go with Pinkman.
You're going with Pinkman. Take all right, that. Hold there, Dan. All right. So who goes to the soundproof booth?
Pinkman does.
Because I'm prettier than Fritz.
Okay. I'm not denying that.
Man. All right, Tom, you have to keep score, all right? Or keep time, one or the other.
Tom, what do you want to do? You want to keep score?
You're on radio now, and it's none of us can do both at the same time.
You're going to have to write down all the answers. I mean, I could do it. You want to have Tom do it instead?
No.
No? Wait, you don't want to have him do it.
All right, keep score.
Okay. So just make a column. You got, Pinkman on one side, Fritz on the other.
He knows what to do, Jack. I mean,
I don't
probably
think he does. He's an IT guy. It's all ones and zeros with him. You ready to go?
Wait a minute.
What?
Fritz, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
I got 10 questions for you, Fritz, including the crow question at the end. All right. Jack, a countdown, please.
In 3, 2, 1, begin.
Fritz, American comic book writer Stan Lee is dead at age 95, but film director Stanley Kubrick died in what year?
2003.
Kubrick directed the movie called A Clockwork Orange that was released in what year?
1973.
Actor Malcolm McDowell was in that movie. How old is McDowell?
He is 80.
Malcolm in the Middle was a successful sitcom that aired on Fox for how many episodes?
Episodes. 82.
How old is actress Megan Fox?
Megan Fox is 30.
Megan Fox was in a forgetful movie titled Friends with Kids, released in what year?
2015.
The TV show Friends ran for how many episodes?
198.
You've Got a Friend was a song by James Taylor and released in what year?
James Taylor. 1975.
How tall is singer-songwriter Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift is 5'9".
Get it within 25, you went outright. If Taylor Swift was a crow in Reading or Reading, Pennsylvania, get it wrong all the time, her place of birth, she would have to fly how many miles to reach Harrisburg, Pennsylvania?
That would be 23 miles.
Time?
Mm-hmm.
All right, there we go. Bring in Mr. Pinkman.
He's taking his time.
Well, he's always just, The hair slows him down. He's not as aerodynamic as
he
used to be.
He's got thick hair, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? Don't you just want to put your fingers in it?
Yeah. Makes me jealous.
What?
I don't have any hair.
Talking about your hair.
Oh, thank you.
Fritz wants to put his fingers in your hair.
Yeah, he's told me that before when he rolls over in bed.
I want to do much more than that.
It's all creepy. I got a headache. I want to leave.
I have 10 questions for you, Mr. Payman, including the crow question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
In 3, 2, 1, begin.
Pinky, American comic book writer Stan Lee is dead at age 95, but film director Stan Lee Kubrick died in what year?
2004.
Kubrick directed the movie called A Clockwork Orange that was released in what year?
1968.
Actor Malcolm McDowell was in that movie. How old is McDowell?
75.
Malcolm in the Middle was a successful sitcom that aired on Fox for how many episodes?
120.
How old is actress Megan Fox?
She is 34.
Megan Fox was in a forgetful movie titled Friends with Kids, released in what year?
2005.
The TV show Friends ran for how many episodes?
220.
You've Got a Friend was a song by James Taylor and released in what year?
1972.
How tall is singer-songwriter Taylor Swift?
She is 5'6".
Get it within 25, you went outright. If Taylor Swift was a crow in Reading or Reading, Pennsylvania, get it mixed up, her place of birth, she would have to fly how many miles to reach Harrisburg, Pennsylvania?
100.
Fine.
Oh, boy.
Let's score it.
All right.
Let's hope that Tom, the producer of the day, kept track.
I'm sure he's got it all. Pinkman, he's going to need your microphone.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
All right, here we go. Stanley Kubrick, the film director, died in what year? And Fritz said
2003.
And Pinkman?
2004.
1999.
Ooh. Fritz gets a point.
Kubrick directed the movie called A Clockwork Orange, released in what year? Fritz said?
1973.
Pinkman?
1968.
1971.
Ooh,
Fritz. Actor Malcolm McDowell in that movie. How old is McDowell? Fritz said
80.
And Pinkman?
75.
Right on the money, 75.
Oh, yeah.
Tie game.
Yeah, there we go. Malcolm in the Middle, a successful sitcom that aired on Fox for how many episodes? Fritz said
82.
And Pinkman?
120.
151. 151 episodes of Malcolm in the Middle.
Pinkman leads.
How old is actress Megan Fox? Fritz said
30.
And Pinkman?
34.
32. Split.
Oh, yeah.
Megan Fox in that awful movie title. I don't know if it was awful. I didn't see it. It was titled Friends with Kids. It just sounds awful.
I think you called it forgetful.
It was released in what year, Fritz said?
2015.
And Pinkman?
2005.
2011.
Oh.
Goes to Fritz.
Fritzy. Tie game.
And four to go. The TV show Friends ran for how many episodes, Fritz said?
198.
And Pinkman?
220.
236.
Ooh, Pinkman leads.
Yeah. Three to go. You've Got a Friend was a song by James Taylor, released in what year, Fritz said?
1975.
Pinkman?
1972.
1971.
Pinkman. Ooh.
Two to go. How tall is singer-songwriter Taylor Swift, Fritz said?
5'9".
And Pinkman?
5'6".
Off by one. 5'10". Taylor Swift is 5'10".
Ooh, Fritz. He's one behind.
That's it?
Yeah, it's 6-5. Pinkman leads.
All right. If Taylor Swift was a crow in, is it Reading or Reading? Reading, Pennsylvania?
Reading, yeah. Yeah.
Reading, Pennsylvania, her place of birth, she would have to fly how many miles to reach Harrisburg, Pennsylvania? Fritz said.
23.
And Pinkman.
100.
Taylor Swift, if she was in Reading, Pennsylvania, wanted to fly to Harrisburg, she'd have to flap her wings and fly a total of 65 miles.
Woo!
Well, that's Pinky.
Take that, Fritz.
Son of a bitch. I was beaten by the best.
Wait. 65?
65 miles.
And Pinkman said 100?
Yeah.
So he's up by 35. All right.
Yeah. There you go.
Whatever.
Let's not get too excited.
Yeah, it's Pinkman.
I mean, I'm not excited. I got my ass whooped.
Damn right you did.
Yeah, so Dan's going to have good fortune for the rest of his life.
Dan gets a card.
That means
Pinkman has to work and get it signed and mail it.
That means Jack has to be both happy and mad at the same time.
I am. I'm very conflicted. I want the caller to win, but somehow I don't want to have to root for Pinkman, and my world is upside down.
Yeah, we'll give it a few more days.
I'm going to go lay down.
Exactly.
It's, It's been a stressful hour and 15 minutes for you so far.
Son, you don't know stress. Let me tell you. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Remember, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and closest to the pin. Pin.
Oh,
it's your turn, bud.
Oh, no, I didn't know we were done.
Oh, no. Well, okay, let me talk for a minute or so. Hey, don't forget the Jim Colbert Show debuts Monday, November 26th. The Phillips File, the last Phillips File, the live edition of the file is next Tuesday, okay? And then we're going to have a tribute show the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Then we'll run a couple of best ofs that Thursday and Friday. And then the Jim Colbert Show debuts on Monday, November 26th. And that's the way it goes on Real Radio 104.1.
Spanning the world wide web to bring you the constant variety of sound, the thrill of victory.
I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
And the agony of defeat.
Chicken tetrazzini.
The sound of human drama captured in a world where everything is recorded. It's time to hear What's in Jack's audio file.
Yeah, Thomas, our producer for the day, kicked in, I think, $400 to help benefit the Central Florida Zoo up in Sanford. Good for you, Tom. And we finally convinced to let, you know, maybe allow his wife to come up here. He had her locked in the car down in the parking lot. Thought we were going to have to call the police. You got to break the window.
She's saved now.
Good for her. Well, yeah. All right. Let's hear what's in Jack's audio file.
All right. Here we go. Jim, as you know, the biggest news story right now nationally are the fires, wildfires still burning out in California. Let's get an update from California.
As of today, an additional 13 human remains have been recovered, which brings the total number to 42.
42 lost souls with this wildfire. They're still dealing with it, and the winds are dying down. But you talked about how cadaver dogs are now being used to try and find a lot of these people who are just still missing, and, you know, we may never know their fate.
We're now at a point where we're going to bring in human remains detector dogs, or what often referred to as cadaver dogs.
I can't even fathom anybody finding anything.
Right.
I mean, you see the shells of these cars that have burned out, and what would be left? Just shovel it up in a bag and not try to be flip, but I mean the temperatures are what? 1500? What's the temperature? What is crematorium fire up at?
1200 plus is what Don Price said in his message.
Yeah, so in these wildfires, and by the way, they're not forest fires per se, they're wildfires. And if I could just correct the president a little bit, most of these fires started on federal lands, not on state lands. So let's just get that straight. But anyway, so what's the temperature with some of these fires?
Of research is checking on that. The temperature of a wildfire. Isn't research doing that?
I mean, I can do it.
Oh, go ahead. I don't care. Just get me an answer.
Get
That's
me
all.
An answer, Dad.
Stay away from my job. They can be up to 1,400 degrees.
So would you rather perish in a fire like that, or you jump out of a plane, your chute doesn't open? You know it's not going to open.
Skydiving.
Why?
Yeah.
Because once you hit, you're done.
Yeah.
The fire is prolonged.
There would be an elongated period of pain in a fire, I would think.
Well, I mean, not if it burns through the nerves. I mean, trying to be practical about it.
That's uplifting.
Let's move on with these news clips about this tragedy that's ongoing.
Okay.
Please don't call my dispatchers and cuss at them and berate them and yell at them. I know you're having a tough time. I respect that. My heart goes out to you. But I want you to understand that we, to varying degrees, are all living this too.
Why would anybody be yelling at a dispatcher?
Well, that's Dubuque County Sheriff Corey Honia. But, you know, people are, they're frantic. I mean, they're losing their towns and stuff. So they, you know, they're calling out for help. And when you don't get the help you want, you just, you're lashing out at whoever's there. The dispatcher is someone who is there. Ugh. That's tragic.
911, what's your emergency? My whole town's on fire.
Oh. Where do you go?
I have no idea. I mean, do you see the video of the people driving through this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, and they're praying, or there's one video of a father, you know, just singing to his daughter, you know, trying to keep her calm. And I mean, I mean, both sides of the road are on, they're on fire.
You also don't know where it's going to go if it shifts.
Keep reminding everybody, if you think you're having a bad day today because something's happening at work, just think of these poor people in California. Good God. Yikes.
Jim, there is another sad story happening, this one with the death of an innocent man. He was actually a security guard, a black man. He was actually getting ready to become a police officer. There was a scene at a club where they were removing some drunk patrons. 26-year-old Jamel Robertson was the security guard, had a vest that said security on it. They got them out, and one of the drunk patrons came back with a gun. He subdued that person.
Right.
And then the police came on scene and shot and killed the security guard.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, you know, he's a security. He's a security. And without any, giving any thought, they shot him.
So there's, the police department has not revealed the identity of the police officer, but obviously there's some outrage with the family and friends of the victim here. And he's pointing out that there shouldn't have been question. I mean, the vest said security on it.
The vest said security as well. The vest said security.
On the front.
Yes. Clearly said security, and they shot him in the side.
So here is the family pastor, Walter Turner, saying he was getting ready. He wanted to be a police officer.
He was preparing for the next police exam. They are just distraught. They are hurt, trying to find out answers, trying to figure out why did this have to happen.
Where was this?
Illinois, Chicago. So, just a sad situation, but I have a feeling that one, that story is going to be around for a little bit.
Yeah, it's got legs.
Jim, there is a survey going on. They did a survey in New York that said surveys show most women that use mass transit are harassed in one form or another.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
They say 3 out of 4.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. They say even at night. So this has led to what's called a pink tax, okay? Researchers, that's what they call, and it ranges from $26 to $50 a month in additional travel expenses that women pay in order to take safer options at night. So instead of maybe the bus or the subway at nighttime for safety, they would take an Uber, Lyft, or taxi, which means, and for those, just for the, you know, just to be safer, and so that extra cost is considered the pink tax. Here's a little more on the story.
So much traffic in the subway. Either you can get slashed, punched, or robbed. Yeah. What else can you do?
Everybody gets harassed on the train.
Everybody gets harassed on the train?
Everybody gets harassed
on
the train.
I told you I'm not going there. Yeah. And I was thinking about it, too. This coming spring, maybe we ought to go up, you know, at the Rockefeller Center, do that. I'm not going there now. I saw that movie.
Not with Harvey Keitel.
I take the subway
Escape from New York, the whole damn thing.
To the Yankee game. Snake Plissken.
I'm not
Snake
going in
Plissken,
there.
Yeah.
I took the subway to the Yankee game. You're wall
to
wall. I did not get harassed.
Yeah.
You know why? He was wearing his Yankees garb.
That's right.
But they only harass Mets fans?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not getting up there in that environment. Kidding me?
It's
I saw Harvey Keitel.
You get that New York minute, you get the anxiety building. No, thank you. No.
Yeah, thank you, exactly.
Musicians and entertainers breaking out, doing their routines on the subway.
I can find a better slice of pizza in Tokyo now.
Thank you.
That's what you say.
No, that's true.
You.
That's true. I saw it on TV. It has to be true.
That's fair.
More on women being harassed using mass transit.
We were, like, buying a ticket for a bus, and then some guy, like, came up to us and cornered us. He was, like, making, like, drunk mouth movements at us.
What are drunk mouth movements?
I imagine it's, like, making out movements, but you're just one person standing there with your eyes closed.
Like kissy-kiss lip things?
Like, woo.
Man, they're just...
Do
come here, sweetheart.
Can you, Pinkman, can you demonstrate those drunk mouth movements again?
Please tell me you filmed that.
Was that Tom in the background or was that Kathy?
That's Tom.
That was Tom.
Tom, yeah. Linda's his lovely wife.
Linda, excuse me. Yeah. What did I say? Sally?
Kathy.
Kathy?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
My apologies.
She can't hear. She doesn't.
If it's really late, yeah. I used to carry around a pepper spray and a taser.
And she lost her hearing because she was locked in that car downstairs for an hour and a half. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, they drove over an hour. They drove the drive that I used to make when I was an intern here from Melbourne.
Right before, Tom, ran up here, he put it on 104.1 and he broke the knob off.
He said, don't you change the station. Yeah. You listen to me. I'm going to be a radio star.
I'm going
to
be a star, baby. I'm going to be a star. I'm telling you, Tom, it beats working for a living. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, sometimes there's free food.
Jim.
You know, by the way, and thanks to everybody who sent in, texts and in some cases letters and emails and congratulating me on my retirement and all that good stuff. And I had one that said, congrats, Jay Phillips. I said, oh, wow, another text, another message. And so I open it up and it's like, never pay for covered home repairs again. Congratulations, you have. Call here for a free quote.
Yeah, Jim gets them too.
My gun.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, Jim, I know you're going to have some more time on your hands. You probably go to the cinema maybe a little
sure,
more often,
why not?
See some new
mm-hmm.
movies.
Get that senior citizen discount.
Oh, summer 2019, it returns for the fourth installment.
I don't belong here!
Mamma Mia.
No, it's
part three. Mamma Mia.
Hey, somebody get him before he pokes an eye out.
That, of course, is going to be Toy Story 4. Mm. They released the official trailer for Toy Story 4. Comes out in summer of 2019. We have the trailer posted at realradio.fm. Click on shows and the Phillips file if you want to see that.
Remember when the first one came out?
And yeah.
Said, oh, my God, look at this. Because the
CGI.
Yeah, yeah. They'd have the shadows and. Now you look at it and go, mm-hmm.
No, it's still old great. School. You're just used to it. Remember high-definition television? A big screen TV in the old days, it used to mean, it was big, but it would be a really crappy picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now you don't have that. Now you have video games where you're a cowboy in 1899, and you're riding the planes.
1883, but whatever.
No, it's
1889, right?
No, it's 1899.
Why is he always trying to
sit
undermine?
Sit down and turn your mic off. You're now in a timeout for being
you're
wrong.
Getting
you don't play this game either?
He does.
You do? Oh, he's got his mic off.
Red Dead 2. I can't have my mic on if you tell me to turn it off.
We're going to hogtie you and throw you on some train tracks.
Oh, you would not a hogtie.
Oh, I know how to hogtie.
You don't know how to hogtie.
No, we know because you learn in the game.
Oh, yeah? What kind of knot do you use?
I'm sorry?
What kind of knot do you use?
Bowling.
What, you hit the X button, right?
Yeah.
Do you have cowboy names?
Well, you're...
Oh, you do.
No, hold on. You've got cowboy names. Yeah, you do name your horse.
We're Arthur Morgan.
What's the name of your horse?
I have two of them now. One of them's named Tennessee Walker, and the other one's named Ice Cream.
Mine is named Elvira the horse.
Is Tennessee Walker a Tennessee Walker?
Yes. Yeah. We all have Tennessee Walker, because you start with that. Then I have two more horses. I have Peanut and Jeter.
I have a roan. It's a war horse, because I got the pre-order.
So did I. My Jeter is a war horse, too.
Nice.
Oh, must be nice, nerds.
Haha. Better horse than yours.
I have special edition, though, tell you what.
And it's opening weekend, Jim. Red Dead Redemption 2 raked in $725 million.
No. Was it a billion?
Who owns that video game, by
Rockstar.
The way?
Rockstar Games.
Where are they headquartered?
Well, they have California and New York, but they have also Grand Theft Auto, or their two big games, that and this. It's the two best games ever made.
Do you compete against one another?
Oh, that's coming in like a week or so.
Oh, is it really?
Online mode. I'm going to shoot Fritz dead.
Nah, because I'm going to be in dad mode, so you can't kill me.
That's a fake game mode.
It's not. It's
a
not fake at all.
You, You say, oh, I'm going to play a kid-friendly version. You go around and pick stupid flowers and don't rob anybody.
Yeah, why is that stupid? He is being very aggressive with me right now, Joe.
That's what these video games do to you. This is what they do to you.
Yeah,
Tipper Gore was absolutely correct.
I play video games and listen to Marilyn Manson. You better watch out.
They turn you into psychopaths.
Yeah, like Pinky.
He said, I'll go to New York and they'll be standing outside some brownstone there.
He's just playing video games.
And his
high-waisted pants and that fedora with the feather sticking out of it.
With their suspenders.
Ready to flip open their stiletto. Cut me.
Switchblade knife.
That's right, kitty
abdomen.
Cat.
All right, Jim.
Yeah.
Let's do a little on this day. It was on this day in 1789. I don't know, Fritz, you want to correct that year, too?
No.
You're good with that?
Yes.
1789, where a famous letter was penned. Jim, what's the only thing that are certain in life?
Taxes.
And?
Death.
There you got it. You know who wrote that?
That was Benjamin Franklin.
Points for you.
Benjamin Franklin wrote to his French friend, Jean-Baptiste Louis, that, quote, our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes.
That's Charles Osgood with a phony accent.
Well, that just sounded like Charles Osgood. What accent do you...
He had a bit of an effect that I thought you were going to say, no, that was Ben Franklin.
Old recording.
That was Charles Osgood, but it's a little bit... Don't you think it's affected?
Maybe a little bit. Okay. If you say so.
You know what I'm talking about, Fritz? Charles Osgood?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no
CBS idea. Sunday Morning Points.
All right. Used to be former.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Till he died.
He's not dead.
He's not.
He's
retired in France.
No, you're thinking of another dude.
Who's the guy he replaced?
Charles Carrault.
He's
the guy who died and they found out had a second family?
Yeah, in Montana.
Who doesn't?
In Jack's world, he equates death to retirement. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting considering the timing, if you ask me.
What a Freudian slip.
Mm.
Let's move on, shall we?
I don't know if it's Freudian.
Speaking of death.
It might be a slip. It might be some Freudian.
He's thinking sex, too.
Am I?
Whatever.
There was a famous death on this day, and a movie later came out of it. It was on this day back in 1974. You ever see the movie Silkwood, Jim?
Yes, with Meryl Streep and Cher.
Was it Meryl Streep or Sissy Spacek? Was it Meryl Streep?
Oh, it was Meryl Streep.
What do I know?
I will not challenge you on movie trivia. I believe it was Meryl Streep.
What?
Karen Silkwood. So she worked at a nuclear plant, the Oklahoma Kerr McGee nuclear plant, right? And she was on her way to meet a New York Times reporter with evidence of that that they were up to no good. I was trying to think what the actual claim was.
Malfeasance.
Yeah, so she had evidence, was on her way to meet the reporter.
Was a Geiger counter went off?
Yeah.
A week after her contamination, Karen Silkwood was killed in a car crash while on her way to deliver her evidence to a reporter for the New York Times. The manila folder she was carrying was never found.
Defective fuel rods she discovered.
Really?
That led to
forgot that
problem. So
fascinating.
You know, she dies car accident on her way to bring this evidence to a reporter. The evidence disappears.
Yeah. Cher was never the same after that.
Correct.
Weren't they partners?
Roommates?
No, I think they were.
Were they?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
You never saw the movie?
Sharon,
that's a good movie.
It was a long time ago. I don't remember movies the way you do.
You're getting it confused with that one with Jane Fonda and Jack Lemmon.
Oh, China Syndrome.
Yeah.
Points.
And who else? Michael Douglas.
And Charles Osgood.
Points.
Yes.
And we have this audio from Ben Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin wrote to his French friend, Jean-Baptiste Louis.
That's your audio file for today.
Thank you, Jack. Good job. Very good. Keep those texts coming in. Tom, our producer for the day, and his wife are keeping a tab on those. The ones we don't like, we'll just toss away. The other ones we'll keep and maybe read them later on the air. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. Check of the news. Here's Big Daddy.
Thank you, Big Jim Weasel. A couple has built a Stone Age village so they can live as cavemen. Yabba dabba don't. Next, a Japanese man has married a hologram. Sure, she's beautiful, but I hear she's empty inside. Finally, a city in Nevada has cooked over 5,000 pounds of nachos in order to break a record. They should officially have to change the name of the town to Flavortown. Headlines were brought to you by the Wine and Craft Beer Stroll at Crane's Roost Park in Altamont Springs. End transmission.
Thank you, Big Daddy, and that is correct. That Wine and Beer Stroll is happening this weekend at Crane's Roost. Today we tried Rod Bender Red from Three Daughters Brewing Company out of Tampa. That's an American Amber Ale. Very tasty. Just one of the many beers you'll be able to try at that Wine and Beer Stroll this Saturday and Sunday at Crane's Roost Park in Altamont. In addition to that, Whole Foods brought us some food as well. They'll be providing food for that event this holiday season. You can order full meals, sides, entrees, desserts, appetizers, and platters all online, in-store, or by the phone. You can get your whole Thanksgiving meal figured out, or Christmas meal. Plan ahead. You can order now through November 19th for Thanksgiving. Whole Foods Market will be open on Thanksgiving Day. You can check local stores for hours. And, of course, check out the Wine and Craft Beer Stroll at Crane's Roost Park in Altamont Springs this Saturday and Sunday. Go there.
When you're done rearranging the deck chairs.
I'm not holding it in. I'm going to be fine.
Of course you'll be fine.
407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041.
Real Radio 104.1.
Phillips File for a Tuesday. Don't forget, Monday, November 26th, it's the debut, the premiere of the Jim Colbert Show. You'd heard him on Friday between the hours of 3 and 7 when I was on that four-day work week this year. But as I head into retirement, Jim Colbert will be taking over the show. No, excuse me, not be taking over the show. He'll be taking over the hours 3 to 7. It's the Jim Colbert Show as the Phillips File heads off into the sunset.
That's all, folks.
It's as simple as that. I was reading about Stan Lee, who died at 95.
Creator of Spider-Man.
Says Marvel movies have proved a cash cow for major studios. If not so much for Mr. Lee. Apparently somewhere along the line he didn't get, well, whatever. With a blockbuster Spider-Man in 2002, Marvel superhero films hit their stride. Such movies including franchises starring Iron Man, Thor, and superheroes. The Avengers, all that stuff, together had grossed how much money as of April?
All the Marvel movies?
Mm-hmm.
I would say $3
billion. Okay, $3 billion. Anybody else?
No. $4.5 billion.
All of them up until this past April.
That's what it says. That's what I said.
$300 billion.
No, it's $24 billion, $300 billion.
I was closest points.
No, you weren't. No, it's $24 billion.
Do you know how numbers work?
Do you?
God, the two of you. Anyway, $24 billion. Not a bad cut, huh?
Tell
it's
you
a lot
what.
Of scratch.
Tom is here. Tom is our producer for the day, along with his wife. They drove all the way in from Melbourne.
Yep.
They were kind enough to donate $400, I think, to the Central Florida Zoo in Sanford.
It goes to Crime Line.
Crime Line, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Crime Line does their annual Zoo Done It event at the Central Florida Zoo, which is an amazing event, and it's so much fun.
It's a great organization, by the way. So is the zoo. Yeah. So,
and we've done, over the years, many producers for a day, and this is the very last producer for a day, and that honor goes to Tom and Linda.
Any more texts coming in, Tom?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I don't know. We haven't been looking at
that. He got caught off guard there. He said, oh, God, he's calling on me. He's calling on me because I can see him slinking down on the chair like he's in junior high. Please don't call on me.
Yeah.
Please don't. Please don't.
I don't know if he should have access to the unedited, unreviewed text.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. It can get FCC non-compliant
exactly.
Quickly.
Well, keep them coming in.
Actually,
we read them all.
And you're getting many well wishes, Jim, your impending retirement.
So I was mentioning, the news junkie was talking about it. I don't know if the Monsters had it this morning, but this story out of Wisconsin about the kids in the high school class. They got their photograph taken. It's an annual event. I read somewhere they don't have a senior prom, but they have a junior prom.
Wait, only the junior prom?
Yeah, they don't have a senior prom.
Because they're busy. Like they got to move on to the next phase of their life.
Why do they have to work the harvest or something? I don't know. And so they're, I mean, it's making the news all over the place. So they're gathered there, and they had their many of them, most of them have their right arms extended. Uh-huh. And a photograph posted online of the high school and the students in Baraboo, Wisconsin. That says something right there.
Is it like caribou, but with a B?
It's B-A-R-A-B-O-O, Baraboo.
Population 12,000 people.
Or is it Baraboo?
I don't know. It's like Bugaboo.
Well, I think if it's
we're 40, gonna miss you, Fritz.
If it's 40 miles outside of Madison, Wisconsin, it's East Bajip, right? It's farmland, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know much about Wisconsin, but yes.
So they gather each year members of the junior class at we'll call it Baraboo, because we don't know any better. Baraboo High School pose on the courthouse steps for parents and other residents, and then they have this professional photographer who comes along. And says here, but anyway, they've got, there's the photograph, and a lot of them had their arms extended, and there's a lot of controversy because it looks like a Nazi salute. And people are coming unglued. And I think the photographer, I think somebody told me earlier that the photographer said, I just said, wave your arm or something. So I think the photographer claims I never asked anybody to give a Nazi salute. All right.
Yeah, he said he was telling them to wave goodbye to their parents or something.
Yeah. So, and some of it looks like that. It's just a half-ass wave.
Say goodbye to your daughter.
It's just a half-ass wave, and others have their arm fully extended, like
some like people a wave Nazi. That way. It's like hey. Hey!
Yeah, definitely. Some of them look like they're just waving goodbye. Yeah,
I don't.
So if that hand is not moving, it's not a wave, and now it looks like a Nazi salute.
Yeah, but then somebody ought to know, say, look, let's make, we need you to wave, and don't wave so it's going to look like a Nazi salute in a photograph, all right? Now, I understand you can put your arm out like that, like, hey, see, I got my arm. And all of a sudden, they're going, oh, what is this all about?
Yeah, this might be just something innocent that is just completely misconstrued.
But there's some people say some of the students may have gotten together before that and said, look, when the photographer asks us to wave, let's give him the old Sieg Heil.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's Sieg Heil, excuse me. And so there they are in all their glory. But I'm looking at the photograph, and it's for a lot of them, I think, it's just a half-ass wave.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and by the way, high school students, for the most part, I mean, academically, they can be pretty smart, but common sense-wise, they can be pretty stupid, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, seriously?
Yeah, I was dumb as hell in high school.
Well, no, lots changed.
I mean, the photograph is printed in the Baraboo or Baraboo, Wisconsin thrifty nickel or something.
Yeah, the penny saver.
They look at that. Oh, well, come on, Charlie, what were you doing with the, come on.
My boy.
What's your grandmother going to think of this? And your grandfather died fighting the Nazis. And look at you.
You disrespect him like this?
Look at you. Yeah, I mean, if you're Nazi, just Nazi up, all right? So we know that you're a Nazi. Just put your arms straight out,
There's the one kid in the photo that's kind of doing a claw hand closer to his chest.
Yeah, he's like looking around soft. How would you wait? I mean, waving is an animation. How are you going to do it? Like, he's like looking around like, wait a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah, it looks like, it does look like, I know it sounds flip, but, one of those Nazi salutes, that's really a straight arm, isn't it? It's one of those right out there. Really, what's the angle?
You got to lock the elbow, 45-degree angle, I believe.
Is it 45?
I think that's right.
Jeez, don't take any photographs of me, all right, please.
There's one kid in the very, very back row who looks strikingly like a young Richard Nixon.
The point that I'm trying to make is, a parent, aren't there certain things you're supposed to tell your kids? Look, here's some things you need to know. You don't use the N-word. It's inappropriate. It's not right. Don't use it. And please, never, if you're getting your photograph taken, never, ever photograph or not, you just don't do that Nazi salute, all right? It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
Saving money, how do you do it? Well, there are plenty of ways, but one of the things you want to avoid is paying unnecessary fees on borrowed money, like when you use your...
Oh, yeah.
It makes. Let me introduce you to my Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just won't wait. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Riding in style, moving and grooving along.
I never did hear how the Florida Harmonica Championship went several weeks ago. Did anybody get a clue? Did anybody go?
Yeah, it was a big hit.
Thank you.
Now, that was the day of the finale for Orlando City, and I decided to support Orlando City. Plus, I think my wife was singing the anthem. Yeah,
okay.
She was, so I
was
had to
wondering.
Go. Yeah, she made me.
After my debut several days before.
Uh-huh. I heard no one could measure up to your skill.
Wasn't too bad, huh?
I thought it was.
Well, that was all right. It was all right. But it's one of those things. I mean, it's one of you. You know, with anything, you know, say, oh, okay, I'm learning, and then you reach a plateau, and then to go high, you know, get better, it takes a lot more effort and concentration, and you know, me, I'm just, you know, whatever. Right, Fritz? I said, right, Fritz?
Did he leave? Is he there?
Yeah, sitting over there.
Oh no, you know what he's doing?
What?
He is actually.
Sorry.
He's finishing the editing, I presume, for Fritz on the Street.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I got two more to do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Tom is our producer for the day. His mm-hmm. wife is here as well. They drove all the way in from Melbourne after making a nice contribution to Crimeline. We appreciate that very much. Speaking of money, Christy sold the Pink Legacy Diamond at auction today.
Oh, boy.
How much? Wait, no, let me get the carats on this. How many carats? I don't know what it is.
Something.
It's what?
I don't know. I
he said 40-something.
You're just pulling it out of your butt? What
are you? Yeah, pink diamond.
Yeah, the Legacy Diamond sold for how much?
So we don't know the size.
19 carats.
Oh, 19 carats. There you go.
The largest fancy vivid pink diamond was ever put under the auction hammer.
$35 million.
$35 million.
Pinkman guesses how much, Pinkman?
$61
million. $61 million. Tom's coming in with an auction price of...
$50
million.
I saw this earlier.
Oh,
so we got a cheater in the house.
Yeah, no, he admitted that he saw it. Tom, what? No, Tom's right on the money. It's $50 million.
Oh,
so we got another cheater in the house.
$44.5 million, and I guess there's an auction house fee that you have to pay.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet, isn't it?
That is just ridiculous.
Oh, poor us. We have to sell a diamond.
I think it's
going to be hard to sell the, you know, a 19-carat diamond.
And then their cut is 5-point-something big? Jeez.
Yeah, they made $4.5 million bucks. Simply by doing what?
Nothing. Sitting on the keister.
$18 million. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, because I was watching the tractor auction in Davenport, Iowa.
Uh-huh.
Good city, good folk.
Riveting television.
Remember I was going to go up there?
Yeah. Mm.
It was 31 degrees.
Ooh.
That's not so bad.
With sleet.
Mm.
Yeah, but you're sitting in a big...
Oh, you're outdoors.
Kind of outdoors. I'm glad I didn't go.
That's not so bad, 31.
31?
That's not so
bad. And wet?
Wet and 31 is worse.
So I've heard that auctioneers, they don't say anything. They're just making noise and then throwing out the offer. Yeah, but 10,000, 95.
Would that be considered the gift of gab?
No.
No, because you're not, because gab would be language, right?
I that's what I think.
Yeah, gift of gab is when you can converse for long periods of time.
Yeah, right.
I do not have.
Yeah, is not conversing.
No, I think it's better if you put your finger there.
But it's pretty good.
So,
they're still talking very fast, and it does sound impressive.
Yeah, hey, that's what's up?
But the point I'm trying to make, I don't think they're talking.
They're not saying anything, is what you're saying.
I don't think it's even gibberish.
They
I think
they're just. Producer for a day, crime line, Phillips file, final shows, the old man's retiring.
That guy's
the gift of gab.
Yeah, that guy.
Best conversation I've ever had.
With who?
With this auctioneer over here. Hey, what's up, man?
Jeez, oh, enough. All right. I'm just asking. I just thought I had heard that, and I don't know if it's...
I believe you.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, this is one of those things where you try to get us to believe you, and then you call us suckers right before we go to break.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Look at...
Don't do it.
Honestly, I had heard that, and I don't know if it's true.
All right. Well, I'm going to bite. I'm going to look it
and
up.
Not all auctioneers do that. I suppose if you're selling tractors, cars, cattle, things like that, you get that thing going. But they don't do that. They don't do that at Christie's, do they?
Not at Christie's.
You think they're doing that at Christie's?
Oh, never at Christie's.
For a diamond that's going to sell for $45 million.
No, I think that's where they have the paddles that they hold up, and it's mostly silent.
Yeah. Okay. Just wondering. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Chance to win a trip to iHeartRadio's sold-out Alter Ego in L.A. is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
From. And now the Phillips File presents a game that is not about being right or wrong.
Wrong!
It's a game that rewards the lucky.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get late.
It's a game where you just have to be close.
That's right, you've got that right.
The game is closest to the pin.
Let's go while we're young.
And now, here's your ever-excited host, Jim Phillips.
There we go with that regular round of closest to the pin. I don't know what my win-loss record is. Mo's not here today.
38 losses is what I...
That's it?
Yeah.
Only 38 losses for the entire year. I'm playing against Joseph, and Mark is the backup, meaning if I win, Mark gets the prize. The prize being what?
It's going to be a pair of tickets to see the Orlando Magic face off against the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow night at the Amway Center. You can celebrate Orlando Magic's 30th anniversary season presented by Florida Hospital.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pinkman.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Great prize up for grabs. And we have a player, and his name is Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Ready to play?
Absolutely.
So here's the deal. Producer for the day, Tom, is going to record your answers. We got your time. And the category is sent by Brad, co-producer for All Gaming. And it is Civil War battleships. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's either sink or swim.
Oh, very nice, Joseph. Well done, sir. Questions about the Civil War and its battleships, because Jim asked for a softball category to knock it out of the park. So let's see if he can do that. Joseph, your challenge is before you, and if you are ready, we will begin in 3, 2, 1. The CSS Alabama was sunk in a ship-to-ship duel with the USS Kearsarge off the coast of Cherbourg, France. How many Union merchant vessels were destroyed or captured prior to that by the Confederate raider?
1,100.
In 1865, the vaunted USS San Jacinto was wrecked. What remained of the vessel was sold at auction. How much money was raised? Hint, it was not much.
$50,000.
The submarine attack on USS New Ironsides in Charleston was one of the first successful torpedo boat engagements in history. What year was that?
1800.
One of the most important and famous naval battles was the Clash of the Ironclads in the USS Monitor and Virginia nee Merrimack. At the Battle of Hampton Roads, how many tons did the Monitor weigh?
2,400.
The USS Cairo was sunk into the murky waters off the Yazoo River during the Siege of Vicksburg. So, if Skipper Tom Selfridge were a crow, how far would he have to flap his wings to fly from Vicksburg, Mississippi to New Orleans?
137 miles.
Time. All right. Good job, Brad. Next time I see you, I will stab you with a fork for this category.
Yeah, take that, Brad.
With all of those names and stuff that's hard to pronounce.
He was in the military, you know. Yeah.
He was?
The Air Force.
All right, well, thank you for your service, Brad.
Oh, no, Veterans Day is over. You don't have to thank him. You can still stab him with a fork.
No. Come on, Brad, what are you doing with these names? Hello, someone tell Jim it's time to come back.
Hello? You want me to go get him?
Yeah, go see if you can find him. I don't know where he went. Maybe he just decided to leave. Oh, here he comes. Now he's coming back. Can't wait to hear what happened now. Where were you?
I was out in the hallway.
If you can't see
Fritz
me.
Fritz left.
How did, huh?
Because I could hear you yelling through the door.
Okay.
Where did Fritz go?
Well, I told him to find Linda.
Where's Linda?
She went down for a smoke like 25 minutes ago.
Tom need a smoke?
Tom's doing all right.
Tom, all right? You not have any like yips or... Is Tom a smoker? Are you a smoker?
No, I'm
okay,
not.
Okay.
Tom's a very patient man.
He seems patient. He's very calm. He's, you know.
An engineering type.
Oh, yeah?
I would say. I don't know.
I think so.
You think?
Boeing.
Yeah.
Lockheed Aerospace.
Lockheed Martin. Yeah.
Are you a spy?
He's not giving. I think he's a spy.
I think he is, too. I think he's CIA. DOD. CIA DOD. Planted in Melbourne.
Yeah. Out of Patrick. He reports back at Patrick Air Force Base. Yeah.
Probably a pilot. Maybe like a U-2 pilot or something like that.
Uh-huh. He was in the Air Force. Well, thank you for your service.
We do appreciate it.
Not Brad, though.
Yeah, not Brad. Oh. Jim, Brad wrote the category today.
I think Fritz ran away with your wife because they haven't returned. Either that or Fritz is bumming a cigarette off of her.
That's right. Fritz quit smoking. Oh, he was doing so well.
Yeah. Hey, Fritz, how about a Chesterfield?
Tom just said, when she finds out he's a vegetarian, she'll be back.
All right, what do you got for
me? All right, Jim, I have a category. We put the call out yesterday, and Brad, you know, got to work on his computer and sent over Civil War battleships. Questions about Civil War and its battleships. Because Jim asked for a softball category to knock out of the park.
I know Civil War. I don't know anything about the Navy.
Yeah.
Naval battles.
Well, you can blame Pinkman and Fritz for this category.
Whatever. I'll take a shot, but really, this is, okay, whatever.
It's a stab in the dark?
Yeah.
All right. So, going to reset. We got Joseph's time.
Yeah.
And we reset the clock for you, boss. And we're going to get underway in 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
The CSS Alabama was sunk in a ship-to-ship duel with the USS Kearsarge off the coast of Cherbourg, France. How many Union merchant vessels were destroyed or captured prior to that by the Confederate raider?
That's 6.
In 1865, the vaunted USS San Jacinto was wrecked.
Yeah.
What remained of the vessel was sold at auction.
Yeah.
How much money was raised? Hint, it wasn't much.
It's $56,000.
The submarine attack on USS New Ironsides in Charleston was one of the first successful torpedo boat engagements in history.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
That's 1864.
One of the most important and famous naval battles was the Clash of the Ironclads.
Yeah.
The USS Monitor and Virginia, nee Merrimack, at the Battle of Hampton Roads.
Mm-hmm.
How many tons did the Monitor weigh?
Believe it or not, it weighed 22 tons.
The USS Cairo was sunk into the murky waters off the Yazoo River during the Siege of Vicksburg.
Mm-hmm.
So if Skipper Tom Selfridge were a crow, how far would he have to flap his wings to fly from Vicksburg, Mississippi to New Orleans?
He would have to fly 320 miles.
Time.
What do you think about that?
Well, Jim, I have your time. However, I'm going to add 5 seconds because you took so long to get back into the studio.
Fritz, where were you? Were you bumming a cigarette off of Tom's, from Tom's wife?
No.
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 Weren't you?
No, I was patiently waiting for her.
Oh, that was sweet. I just wanted you to see if she was waiting to come in.
Well, then I knew that she was out there all on her lonesome, so I waited.
Oh, he's a gentleman. How about that?
Yeah.
A gentleman vegetarian vegan.
Yeah, she knows you're a vegetarian?
No, she would have punched me in the gut. Yeah, okay. She's a nice lady.
They're very nice. Both of them are very nice.
All right, you ready to grade this, Jim?
Yeah.
What's today?
What do you mean, what's today? Tuesday, yeah.
Okay, just checking. Every once in a while, I like to check what day it is. Mm. Civil War Battleship, thanks to Bradco, producer for All Gaming.
There we go.
All right, so the Alabama sunk in the ship-to-ship duel with the USS Kearsarge. Yeah. And so how many Union merchant vessels were destroyed or captured prior to that by the Confederate raider?
Easy.
Pinkman, Tom's going to need the microphone.
Oh, yeah, true.
He has the answers. He recorded the answers. And Tom Joseph said, how many ships destroyed for number one?
1,100.
1,100.
What?
Jim said?
6.
The answer, 68. Jim is closer. Jim gets a point.
Wow.
This was the Civil War, folks, remember. You know, the infancy of our Navy. In 1865, the USS San Jacinto was wrecked.
Yes.
Okay. What remained of the vessel was sold at auction. It was not a lot. You both were warned. However, Joseph said it raised how much money?
$50,000.
$50,000. Jim said?
$56,000.
$224.61.
Oh, come on.
Joseph gets a point. It's a tie game.
What'd you get out of it? What'd they get, like a...
Yeah, right now it's...
A nail?
It hit a reef off of Abaco Island. Now it's a cruise ship destination, by the way.
Huh.
So the submarine attack on USS New Ironsides in Charleston.
Oh, yes.
One of the first successful torpedo engagements in history happened in what year? Joseph said?
1800.
Jim said?
1864.
Off by 1 year. 1863. Jim gets a point. It's 2-1. So we move on.
Yes.
One of the most famous battles was the Monitor and the Merrimack.
Yes.
You know all about it, right?
Yes.
How much did the Monitor weigh?
No idea.
It was built at a cost of $275,000. How much did it weigh in tons? Joseph said?
2,400.
2,400 tons. Jim said?
2,200.
2,200 tons. 776 tons. This was, you know, Civil War time. Jim, you're closer.
What did I say, 2,200? 22,000?
Did you say 2,200?
22. Oh, you did say 22,000.
Oh, wait, I didn't say 22,000. No, I didn't say 22,000.
He said 2,200.
I said 20. I wrote down 2,200.
Come on, Tom. You're an engineer.
Did you?
No. You got to go to the test. I didn't say 20.
Wait, what are you saying you said?
I don't know what I said, but I don't think it was that much.
Wait, you think it was less than 2,200?
I think I said 22. 22 tons.
No.
Oh, boy. I thought he did say 22 tons. Either way, 2,200 or 22, you still get the point.
I'll take it.
Ay, ay, ay. So sometimes you can't get rid of a point.
This guy he's working for. I mean, you know. I'm sorry, boss. I pumped in a couple extra zeros there in the computer. No big deal. You know?
All right.
It's government money. What do we, you know?
As a crow flies, how far from Vicksburg, Mississippi to New Orleans?
Bring it home. Come on. Bring it home, Tom.
137.
137. Jim said?
320.
The answer? 278, Jim is closer, and Jim wins the game.
Oh, it's another win for Jim. I may very well go into retirement without hitting 40 losses.
I am the champion. I am the greatest. I will whoop them. I can't lose.
I win. Is there no one on this planet to even challenge me?
Remember, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and closest to the pin.
Pin, pin.
Yes, awesome.
That was
a mess. And you requested that.
That was a hot mess. Yeah, but okay, I'm more land-based Civil War than I am naval battle.
Everyone texting in says you definitely said 22 flat. 22
Thank you.
Times.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah. Thank you.
That, Tom.
Speaking of texts, I believe we have more texts that come in that Tom the Texter. Tom the Text Reader can deliver if you like.
Tom and his wife generously contributed to Crimeline and won a spot as producer for the day, and we appreciate that very much. So keep those texts coming in. What are they saying, Tom? The good ones.
Yeah.
Not the bad ones, buddy.
Okay, aren't too many then, Jim.
not too many good ones?
I think there's 22, Jim.
Okay.
good one.
It's pretty good.
The first one is, as many things are up in the air, and we're told that many things are, the file are going to go different ways.
Yeah.
My wife and I really want to know where Big Daddy is headed. Now, that guy is really funny.
Yeah, I don't know, but, you know, Big Daddy has a very strong fan base.
Yeah.
And for all I know, who knows, Big Daddy might get his own show. Maybe certainly on the weekends if he pays for it. So, you know, the brokerage show, the Big Daddy brokerage show.
Take that, Kim Komando.
Sounds like a, like a computer show.
Okay, the next one, Jim, is, it says, if it wasn't for Jim Phillips, I never would have won tickets to see Motorhead.
Oh, that's badass.
See Lemmy 3 months before he passed away.
Yep.
Been listening for 20 years since middle school. Thanks for everything, Jim.
Well, you're welcome. Was Motorhead, was he the guy with the big sideburns?
Yep.
And the leather cowboy hat?
Mm-hmm, and he played bass.
All right.
Yeah.
See? Rock and roll.
Yeah, Bo.
Okay, one more. You got one more time before we break?
Next one. Hi, Jim. I just want to say how much I'm going to miss the Phillips file. Been listening to you with my dad on my way to school since I was 5 years old.
Oh.
He listened to you since the late 80s. Now I'm 18, and I listen to you every day at home and in the car. I'm going to especially miss Closest to the Pin and Moira's newscast.
Oh, there you go.
I wish you would consider a long-term break and then return, but I wish you will, Zach.
Yeah, you never know what might be happening. Might do a podcast, might do nothing at all.
Yeah.
Might work in the bread store.
Maybe you could be... Maybe you could have a regular appearance on the Casual Shadows podcast.
Yeah, so you can't... the big Jabata's not good enough for you?
Are you going to run the grocery store?
Cuban bread instead instead of French?
We're going bakery employee now.
Exactly.
How about Jim's grocery store?
They actually had an opening at that bakery at East End Market.
Ooh, that's good.
What the hell, you know? I don't live too far away from there. You know, you do a few hours, and maybe a couple. You know, so what? You know, just hang out. Yeah. How many bagels? I want to cut back. A lot of carbs.
Tom says you could be a soup Nazi.
Exactly. Oh, you got to go see that guy, you know, at the bread place over at East End. Jeez, holy mackerel. You've been lucky to come away with a biscuit. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1. Get a check of the news. Speaking of Big Daddy.
Thank you, Big Jim Weasel. A South African child stuffed snake was confiscated by airport security. Sounds like those security guards had enough of those monkey fighting snakes on that Monday to Friday plane. Next, a stalker who lives with 9 real dolls has been hit with a restraining order. Of all the things that have surprised me in my computer life, this is not one of those. Finally, a man from Georgia has been arrested on multiple charges including criminal trespassing after he reportedly broke into a couple's house and then jumped into bed with them naked. Apparently wanting to party is a crime now. I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Headlines were brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. End transmission.
That's right. If you want to refinance the home you're living in or you're in the market for a new home, how are you going to pay for it? Well, you go to a direct lender, and that direct lender should be We Are Not the Banks. And you find them online at WeAreNotTheBanks.com. That's where Brad and his team have their site where they can give you all the information you need for all your mortgage needs. They have a certified home buyer program where helps you eliminate any doubt. You get to compete against cash offers, and it will give you the advantage in a multiple offer situation and to really make your offer stand out and close faster. They can close in 30 days in most cases, and if you are military, they specialize in VA loans. If you want to finance a mobile home, WeAreNotTheBanks.com can help you with that as well. Go to their website, Brad and his team. They take you through every step of the process and are really great to work with. The website again is WeAreNotTheBanks.com.
From the
You're listening to the Phillips File.
I win! Is there no one on this planet to even challenge me?
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me.
I think I've heard this song five times. The first time I heard it, I loved it. And now I just can't stand listening to it. It's just...
Has
it been overplayed? Been reading a column in the New York Times about making video games safer. It's essentially about trolls. Now, I don't play video games. I'm involved in any streaming and things like that, so I protect myself that way. But they say, you know, they're essentially talking. Now, you guys are playing what? What game are you playing?
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
It's the best.
Now, you've been playing just... yourself, right?
Yes.
With the game, but now, all of a sudden, what are you going to form a team? What do you do?
Online,
are you playing against one another?
Online starts in, I believe, a week or two.
Yeah, okay.
And then we can play, I believe, with each other, or we can shoot each other dead in the saloon.
So, so would you have trolls interfering with you?
Probably.
Well, how do you deal with it? There's nothing you could do, right?
With Grand Theft Auto Online, you could put yourself in passive mode if you were really trying to accomplish something without people blowing you up every 2 seconds. But other than that, there's not
a lot. I don't understand the trolling thing. I mean, to a degree, I do. But I just wonder after a while whether it's... it used to be TV reporters, you see some clown in the background, you know, jumping up and down or wait.
Hey, Bob.
You know, that's... it's not completely gone, but a lot of it has gone away because the thrill of it is, hey, you see that once, you've seen it a zillion times, right? And I'm just wondering, what do you think the psychological dynamics of somebody who does stuff like this, whether it's, you know, it's a kid's game and they...
not enough attention at home is my guess, but I'm no psychologist.
They say a lot of the trolling comes from overseas.
Oh, those damn Russians.
I've had a lot of, like, American 11-year-olds shouting the N-word at me, so.
Why? Not because sure you're not doing what? You're on a team and you're not doing very well? You're not holding up your...
No, they don't even care about that. They just non-discriminately yell at you.
Yeah, that's what it says here. This year, by the way, game live streaming will have an audience of how many viewers worldwide?
300 million.
A billion.
2 billion.
380 million.
Oh, points. Man. I'm so close.
This guy
says,
sucks at birthdays, but gets these numbers.
Esports platforms and video games are plagued by trolls.
So people in the safety, they get to be bullies? I don't know. Maybe these are people who were picked on, people who feel less than, people
insecure.
Yeah,
but after a while, don't you just run out of it and say, all right, whatever. You know, I've been trolling people for 3 weeks and, you know. You still get a thrill, I suppose.
Now I'm going to go bake some bread.
You get a thrill after for trolling an 8-year-old kid playing a game. I guess.
Yeah, telling him he made love to his mom last night. Jeez, Fritz, rude.
I've never.
What percent of gamers are women?
I mean,
they say trolls pester female gamers with obscene, sexist, and misogynistic language without consequences. There are no consequences. So what percent of gamers are women?
23%.
I will say as high as 54.
I'm going to go with 38.
It's 48%.
Points.
Oh, I think Fritz took that again.
Whatever, mm-hmm. This guy.
Anyway.
Do you guys rehearse this?
Yes.
Thanks for giving out all the answers.
Fritz, you still playing baseball, Fritz?
No.
Over there, gaming? You know, you can't do a lot of that. You'll get boils on your butt.
Yeah, I know. Got them removed. I had
two, you just sit there. I mean, you're just sitting there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's not that, I'm sitting on my keister working on music. So I've been, you know.
What happened to baseball? I thought you were out playing baseball.
Yeah, hardball. I was. And then, you know, two seasons in a row of a subpar average and then, you know, twisting, rolling over your ankles. Not fun. So just kind of stopped.
What was your batting average?
222.
That's not too bad in hardball.
These guys were hitting like 790, though, like ex-college players. So you see those numbers, you're like, I'm going to go.
Or it's the pitching speed. The ball's coming at you. How fast?
I mean, it's like 70, 80.
Ooh. Enough to scare you.
Yeah. Well, there's an ex-Major League Baseball pitcher that I caught for. He was throwing still like low 90s.
That's
and that was
right.
Scary. It was terrifying.
Are these people that just want to, they're just going out to, going out to have some fun.
Yeah, well, every game.
You're getting up there, dude, you know, your glory days are over with. What are you getting some big thrill over, you know, at a striking out some, you striking out Fritz?
Every game. Yeah, well, when you put it that way. Every game he pitched, we actually lost because these guys were you know, like double A guys, and yeah, it was ridiculous.
I wouldn't find that. See, that's what I like about slow pitch softball.
Everybody was so.
You get out there, you get a couple of beers, you know, you get together with the guys, you have some pizza, and you have a good time. These guys, these hardball, they're too serious.
Everybody was so competitive.
Hey, I got to see this splitter.
Yeah. So that's why.
Seriously?
Yeah, bro.
It was just ridiculous. It's like I'm here just to have a good time and talk baseball and also play baseball. And
these you guys tell that to the catcher when you get in the batter's box.
Yeah, hey, I usually go, "Hello, how are you?"
Can you send
you?
A signal to the giant on the mound that I'm just here to have a good time?
I've seen people get competitive in co-ed softball, co-ed kickball.
I guess it's that mentality. I can't stand it.
Yeah, I can understand the competitive nature, but at least in softball, you're not going to get knocked out if you get hit by the ball.
Yeah, you're
not going to have your jaw fractured.
That's true.
I've seen a dude get hit in the stomach straight up the middle, giant purple bruise on his belly button.
How'd he get hit
straight up the middle?
The guy hit up the middle. He was the pitcher. The guy hit up the middle.
He
and
doesn't know what that means.
I know what it means.
What does that mean?
It means you hit up the middle.
He's not
literally
wrong, Jim.
In the sentence.
He's not wrong.
Oh, you hit between what, the shortstop and second?
Oh, no. This guy hit straight up the middle, right at the pitcher.
Oh, the pitcher
got
hit.
Oh, you're talking about the pitcher got hit.
Yes.
Okay, with the softball.
Correct.
Okay. Like a line drive to the pitcher.
Yeah, like a grapefruit in the chest.
Okay, gotcha.
Ouch.
But it would make a big difference, would it not, if it was a hard ball?
Yes.
I mean, they're still pretty hard.
What?
Both of them are hard balls, but baseball, you know, it's thrown a lot harder.
Softball coming off a bat is not as fast, or is it, as a hard ball coming off a bat?
That's what I've always
said. Well, I don't
know,
because you have an aluminum bat in softball, and then you have a wood bat in my league, so I don't know. I would say probably softball.
Ooh. Wait. You're saying a softball.
No, now I don't. Now I take it back.
He's scared.
Yeah,
he scared him.
I was like, what do you want from me, Jim?
No, sorry.
I'm still over here editing Fritz on the Street.
I love Fritz. All you have to do is look over and then kind of give him one of those Jack Nicholson eyebrow things. Yeah. Like, no, I didn't mean that.
No. I'm so sorry,
what was
sir.
I thinking?
I'm so sorry.
I would just think that a hard ball would come off a bat, whether it's aluminum or whether it's wood. A lot faster.
Yeah,
it's harder. It's a hard ball is harder than a softball.
It's also
why they call it a softball.
Yeah, it's also only 5 ounces, so you can crack the hell out of it.
There you go. All right.
It's dangerous either way.
Is Tom going to play Fritz on the Street?
Yes, he is. We actually had a meeting just a couple of minutes ago about it.
Wait, what's this meeting? Is there collusion?
Well,
yeah. What is this collusion meeting?
We were both at the urinals, if you must know.
Oh boy.
You look over and say, "Hey, nice."
No, why would I do that? That's
nice.
Inappropriate. We have a guest.
Would you toss that cigarette butt in the urinal that you stole off of his wife?
Maybe I'm squirreling it away.
Was she smoking a Kent, Chesterfield,
Viceroy,
True,
Viceroy. Virginia Slim,
Winston,
Benson and Hedges,
Marlboro?
If it was a Quentin Tarantino movie, Red Apple.
Oh, this guy flexing movie knowledge over here.
Salem.
It would also be 420.
All right, let me take a little break. We'll come back with Fritz on the Street next on Real Radio 104.1.
Your chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. In a world of journalistic excellence...
Can I get your opinion?
...comes a man with no formal training.
Hey, how do you feel about Kraft Newberg?
This is Fritz on the Street.
Fritz on the Street every Tuesday on the Phillips File. Fritz on the Street brought to us in part by...
After a gas station hot dog heated by a roller made me miss a speaking engagement, attorney Crab Newberg recovered $162,000. Thanks, Mr. Newberg.
You're welcome, Trevor. I was honored to recover over $200,000 for Trevor after his foodborne illness, and I'd be willing to help you, too. I've graduated from an accredited law school and passed an intensive examination in the state of Florida. Food safety guidelines must always... always be followed. I vow to go after big gas stations, so Trevor is hopefully the last one this happens to. With Crab Newberg, you've got a case.
That's absolutely correct. Hello, Fritz.
Hello. Well, Jim, you know, I've got 10 questions.
Okay.
I decided to do things a little differently.
All right.
Okay, I have 5 current event questions. I've got 5 general trivia questions.
Is What's that different?
How we always do it?
Nothing at all is different. And that's why it's different.
Oh, boy.
He's as crazy as Eddie the Shaman, isn't he?
He is.
Sometimes
in
he's
the,
just...
In the lead with 475 points, we've got Jim Phillips in second place.
What's that? What do I have?
475 points.
Wow.
Yeah, got to get a map some strategy. 475, who's next?
Second place, Jack Bradshaw, 429.
Damn.
Ooh. Plays it.
Third place, Pinkman, 424.
Ooh. Plays it again.
Mo in fourth place with 390.
Yeah.
KC has 67.
It's coming.
C-Lane has 11. Tom has 0. But Tom, he's going to at least get a couple points.
Tom is our producer for the day. You can turn your mic on, Tom.
Oh,
and you know
me,
how this, you ever heard this bit before? You know how this is played?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Good
this
answer.
This is trouble. Yeah. Okay. You ready? Because I'm ready to dive right in.
Yep, oh, without further ado, if you think you know it, chime in. Yeah. Just say your name for that bonus point. Question one. On Monday.
Stan Lee.
That is correct.
Oh, you son of a...
That is...
Just shut the game down now. It
absolutely correct.
Thank you.
On Monday, which American comic book writer passed away at the age of 95? Jim, you got that one right. Out of 8 answers, how many do you think said Stan Lee?
Fritz, can you tell us where these people were polled?
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. Thank you. At the bar and also here. I wanted to include...
Ooh, nice.
I had almost...
where you went on your lunch?
No.
So the bar was last night?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually had over 20 people participate.
Ooh.
They all wanted to, you know, finally they wanted to do something for me.
The penultimate game, just 2 weeks left, and now he has a line out the door.
I'll go 6.
6 for Jim.
I'll go 8, and I'll put $1 on the prop bet that at least 2 people say Excelsior. Anyone?
Okay.
Nope.
No.
I will say 7.
7 for Jack. What do you think, Tom?
7.
7 for Tom.
All right.
Question 1 with answers from the file of 6, 7, and 8.
Come on, no clue.
Bing, bing, bing.
So someone's picking up 2 points. On Monday, which American comic book writer passed away at the age of 95?
Stan Lee.
Damn it.
Stan Lee.
Stop. Well, that would be Stan Lee.
Stop.
God bless him.
Right there.
Oh, Stan Lee.
Damn it.
8.
No clue guy knew it.
Yep.
So, I knew I was doomed when he knew it.
Pinky's picking up 2 points. Mm. Tom and Jack picking up 1 each.
Woo-hoo.
Question 2. Mm. Which music act faced backlash after lip-syncing their 1989 hit Girl
Jack.
You Know It's True? Jack.
Milli Vanilli.
That is correct.
Milli Vanilli
is correct. Which music act faced backlash after lip-syncing their 1989 hit Girl You Know It's True? Jack, out of 8 answers, how many do you think said Milli Vanilli?
4.
4 for Jack.
4.
4 for Jim.
5.
5 for Pink Man.
God.
I'm going 5.
5 for Tom.
You're brave, Tom.
Question 2 with answers from the file of 4 and 5. Which music act faced backlash after lip-syncing their 1989 hit Girl You Know It's True?
Milli Vanilli.
Uh-oh.
Milli Vanilli.
I'm on 6.
Milli Vanilli.
Stop.
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli. Yes.
No clue.
7.
No clues.
Right,
7 out of 8.
Son no points. Gun.
What a rip.
No points awarded.
Ooh.
Question 3. Which Florida county recently denied Governor Rick
Jim? Palm Beach.
Pinkman.
Palm Beach is incorrect. Pinkman.
Broward.
Broward is correct.
Right. Oh my God, what was I thinking?
Which Florida county recently denied Governor Rick Scott's bid to impound voting machines? Pinkman, out of 8 answers, how many do you think said Broward?
5.
Broward. 5?
5? Yes.
I'm not going next.
Why not? Let Tom go.
What do you think, Tom?
I'll go 8.
8 for Tom.
8's going to know it.
Gee, he is swinging for the fences.
I like it.
I like it, too. That's a lot of courage.
Power swings.
What do you got?
4.
4 for Jack.
I'll go 4.
And 4 for Jim. Question 3 with answers from the file of 4, 5, and 8.
Which Florida Ooh. County recently denied Governor Rick Scott's bid to impound voting machines?
Broward.
I do not know.
Broward? Duval.
I don't know. Let's just say Orange.
No clue.
Damn it.
Broward?
There you go.
I don't know.
Three.
We'll take the point.
Jim and Jack picking up a point.
What a rip.
Take that, sucker.
Huh? What'd you say, Pinkman?
I said, what a rip.
How many did you guess?
Five.
Question four.
Yeah.
Which author wrote The Scarlet Letter?
Pinkman. Jane Austen.
That is incorrect.
That's wrong. Damn.
Good guess.
Ooh. That's a good guess.
Throwing though. Something out there.
What? Yeah. What'd you say?
He said Jane Austen. Oh, yeah. Just good guess. Throwing something out there.
Yeah.
How dare you congratulate me?
Jack. Tom Clancy.
Tom Clancy's incorrect.
The Hunt for the Scarlet Letter.
I knew there was a color in his book.
How about Jack London?
Jack London is incorrect. That would be Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Oh, screw it. Yeah,
someone out there knew it.
Right.
Pinky, you got question three right. You will go first. Which author wrote The Scarlet Letter? Out of eight answers, how many do you think said Nathaniel Hawthorne or Hawthorne?
Two
for Pinkman.
I don't know. I'll go one.
One for Jim.
Kind of like that answer. What about you, Tom?
Going two.
Two for Tom.
Two.
Two for Jack.
Jeez.
Question four with answers from the file of one and two.
Watch it.
Bing,
like
bing, bing.
Oh, someone's paying up points. Which author wrote The Scarlet Letter?
Oh, God. I don't know. I can't remember.
Can't remember that one.
I pass. I can't remember that one.
Good for you.
Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Damn you.
Shakespeare? No. I don't know. No clue.
No clue.
Hester Prynne is the character. Hawthorne.
Oh, come on.
I don't know this.
Two. Woo-hoo. Everyone's picking up 2 points. Jim, you're picking up 1 point.
Hawthorne.
Get out of here.
Points on Hester Prynne. I was like, damn. So there
you go. That was sounded like right. Somebody handed her a piece of paper. And I said, Hawthorne.
And she still like mispronounces it. Hathen. Question
30.
Question five.
No.
Matt Whitaker is now
Jim.
Jim.
Justice Department.
That is incorrect.
Jack. Attorney General.
That is incorrect. Matt Whitaker is now acting Attorney General after the firing of whom?
Pinkman.
That is correct. Jeff Sessions was the answer.
You got to listen to the clue, bro.
you got to take your chances.
He just broed you. Pinky, out of eight answers, how many do you think?
Pinkman, he has a 51-point lead on you.
Yeah, I know. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
What do you got, Pinky?
Pinky, out of eight answers, how many do you think said Sessions or Jeff Sessions?
Can I hear the question one more time, please?
Of course. Matt Whitaker is now acting Attorney General after the firing of whom?
Four
for Pinky.
Ooh. Oh, no.
I like that one.
Do you?
Well, I'm waiting for you.
I think it's going to be more like six, but I'm thinking about laying up the shot and saying five.
I'll go five, too. I really thought five, yeah.
Five for Jack and Jim. Tom, what do you think?
Four
for Tom.
Good choice.
Come on, smart people.
Question five with answers from the file of four and five.
Bing, bing, bing.
Matt Whitaker is now acting Attorney General after the firing of whom?
Don't know.
Sessions.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, come on.
Pass.
Sessions.
I should know this, but I don't.
Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions?
Four. Mm. So Tom and Pinky picking up two each.
Yeah.
Jim and Jack, one
each. Good work, Tom.
I got five questions to go. Anybody got a vote total as far as, like, I'm going to walk away with the trophy. There's no question about that.
I got a
perfect strategy for this, but now I want to see what's happening with Pinkman and Jack.
I think it's mathematically impossible.
Yeah, it is. If you got, what's the maximum? 3 points per question?
Yes.
That's 30 points.
Yeah.
So we're beyond the point of anyone being able to catch you.
Well, even if it got close, I would just cancel it and we wouldn't do it next Tuesday. It's the Phillips File on Real Radio 104.1.
Hey, this is Pinkman from the Phillips File, and you're listening to
Fritz on the Street.
Fritz on the Street with five more questions to go. Fritz on the Street brought to us in part by...
Imagine the opulence of Broadway captured via video. Behold, the future of Broadway is no longer confined to Manhattan. Introducing Super TV 3's latest production, Hamilton the Musical. Yes, Hamilton the Musical will take you on a tanned journey through the eyes of arguably this generation's greatest actor, George Hamilton. Written in a sing-song fashion, George Hamilton speaks about his upbringing.
Born in Memphis, Tennessee, in 1939. A terribly handsome baby. Thank you.
George Hamilton offers us his greatest asset in his singing voice, like this song called
It's Like Love at First Bite.
And gives crippling insight into the dark side of Hollywood.
Susan St. James has halitosis. Take that one to the bank. Thank you.
George Hamilton is George Hamilton in Hamilton the Musical.
And I says to him, I says, you know, I was in The Godfather. The bad one. Kentucky Fried Chicken in my hand, in my mouth, and in my hand.
Only on Orlando's Super TV 3.
I can't wait for that show.
Woo! Okay.
Now let's get back to Fritz on the Street. Five more questions to go.
You got it. Question six. If you think you know it, chime in for that bonus
point. Wait a minute,
hold
on. I got to take a deep breath. That's all. I was just listening to that spot.
Got to refocus. I got to center yourself. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Relax.
All right, thank
plexus.
You. Namaste.
Question six.
Yeah.
Which actor portrays Freddie Mercury in
Jack.
The film?
Jack. Oh, come on.
Rami Malekai.
Pinkman.
Pinkman.
Rami Malek.
That is correct.
Oh, come on.
Wait a minute. He didn't say wrong. You can't just jump in there. He has to say wrong before you jump in there.
He said no.
I said,
yeah, that's enough. That's enough.
That's
this is the penultimate game of the penultimate week.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm taking the trophy. I don't care.
He's going to take it anyway. No matter who wins,
I could give up 100 points. I'm still taking the trip.
Pinky, you got that one right. Which actor portrays Freddie Mercury in the film Bohemian Rhapsody? Out of eight answers, how many do you think said Rami Malek or Malik or me?
Oh no!
Wait, yeah, you're not accepting Malie, are you?
No, God no. What am I, a heathen? There are rules.
Four. Mr. Heathen.
Four for Pink Man.
For Malik. Gotta say, they just have to say Malik.
Yeah, Malik, Malik, whatever.
I'll go with three.
Three for Tom.
I like three.
Yeah, like, wait a minute. Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Jack, you going with three?
Yeah.
You're going three. I'll go four.
Four for Jim. Question six with answers from the file of three and four.
Bing, bing, bing.
Oh, someone's picking up 2 points.
Which actor portrays Freddie Mercury in the film Bohemian Rhapsody?
The unknown guy.
Malik.
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek.
No, I don't know.
Rami Malek.
I don't know.
Don't remember his name.
Four.
Thank
Jim
you, Mikey.
And
you.
Pinky picking up 2 points, and Tom and Jack picking up 1 point each.
Thanks, Fritz.
You got it. Question seven.
Rami Malek.
Yeah, Rami Malek.
Mally, yeah, say Mally.
From the Emerald Isle.
Mallard.
Mallard. Like a mallard duck. Question seven.
What?
I don't know. Question seven. Over 30 are dead as firefighters contain... Jim.
California.
That is correct.
California.
Over 30 are dead as firefighters contain the Camp Wildfire, the largest in history in which U.S. state. Jim, got that one right. Out of
Want to give me that Arnold Schwarzenegger again?
California.
That's a little bit better than your first attempt.
Oh, the first one was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, every song they were ever...
So the question again, please.
Over 30 are dead as firefighters contain the Camp Wildfire, the largest in history in which U.S. state. Out of eight answers, Jim, how many do you think would say California?
Eight. Is there an out? I'll go seven.
Seven for Jim.
Eight.
Eight for Jack.
Eight.
Eight with reservations with Pinkman.
I'm going seven.
Seven for Tom. Question seven with answers from the file of seven and eight.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, it's going to be
over eight. 30 are dead as firefighters contain the Camp Wildfire, the largest in history in which U.S. state.
California.
California?
California.
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 Yeah. Pinky and Jack picking up 2 points. Jim.
Neck and neck with those two guys.
Yep. Jim and Tom picking up 1 point.
How many more do we have?
We have three more. Mm-hmm. Question eight. Which legendary actress starred in A Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis?
Jim. Judy Garland.
That Jack. Correct.
Lady Gaga.
Barbara Streisand.
She wasn't in Meet Me in St. Louis, was she?
Are you sure?
No.
She was in the remake.
the 1954 version. Jim, you got that one correct.
Yeah. Garland, right?
Yep. Out of eight answers, how many do you think said Judy Garland? Judy.
The question
Judy.
One more time, please.
Which legendary actress starred in A Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis?
Yeah, a lot of them are going to say Streisand, right, or something like that. I'll just go two.
Two for Jim.
One.
One for Pinky.
Three.
Three for Jack.
Nice.
Two.
Two for
Here
Tom.
We go. Okay.
Question eight with answers from the file of one, two, and three.
Bing, bing, bing.
Which legendary actress starred in A Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis?
Oh, Lady Gaga?
I don't know. Julie Andrews. I don't know.
Judy Garland.
There you go.
Judy Garland.
Uh-oh.
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand?
You're asking questions before I was born. I don't even know those movies. Legendary actress. I don't know.
That would be two.
Thank you, whoever you are.
He works on the third floor. Good guy. Nice guy. Two. So,
big soliloquy about, you know.
Just giving me hell. I'm just over here trying to do my job.
Having an existential crisis.
paper, plastic. What do I do?
What do I do? I don't know. Jim and Tom each picking up 2 points.
All
Pinky
right.
And
two
Jeff
more to go.
Picking up one each. Yep. Question nine. Recently, Pete Davidson and which U.S.
Jack. Dan Crenshaw.
That is correct. Nicely done. Jack, you have 2 bonus points now. Recently, Pete Davidson and which U.S. elect House of Representatives member appeared on SNL together in a plea for unity? Okay. Out of 8 answers, Jack, how many do you think said Dan Crenshaw and not Eye Patch Guy?
Oh, wow.
Two.
Two for Jack.
Three.
Three for Pinkman.
They just have to say Crenshaw?
Crenshaw. Mm-hmm.
What about Malik? Kai.
Nope.
Crenshaw or Kai.
I'll go three.
Three for Jim.
I'll go two.
Two for Tom. Question nine with answers from the file of two.
Here we go.
And three.
Bing, bing, bing.
Recently, Pete Davidson and which U.S. elect House of Representatives member appeared on SNL together in a plea for unity?
Beetle Bailey.
Pass.
I don't know, but yeah, whatever.
I just saw the skit, but I'm blanking on his name.
No idea.
Dan Crenshaw.
Forgot his name, the eye patch guy.
Two. So Jack and Tom each picking up 2 points, and Jim and Pinkman picking up 1 point each. It's been neck and neck.
Wow.
Question 10, last one. What is the capital of Wyoming?
Jack. Cheyenne.
That is correct. 3 bonus points. You now tie Jim and Pinkman 3 all day for bonus points.
He's got his summer home there.
Jack, out of 8, you do, really?
Sure, I do, yeah.
Jack, out of 8 answers, how many do you think said Cheyenne?
Ooh.
6.
I gotta go.
Yikes.
Now, baby, if I hurry, I can still make sure.
I like that, though.
6.
6.
It's not Cheyenne. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those state capitals you always kind of remember because of the...
It sounds cool, doesn't it? Cheyenne.
Yeah, doesn't
it's
it?
It's the best. That and Juneau.
Alaska. Points.
I'm not going there.
I'm going to go with 4.
4 for Pink Man.
I'll split it. I'll go 5.
5 for Jim.
I like 5.
5 for Tom.
All right, here we go.
Question 10. What is the capital of Wyoming? With answers from the file of 4, 5, and 6.
Bing, bing, bing.
What is the capital of Wyoming?
Pass.
Oh, come on.
Cheyenne.
Don't know.
That one I know.
Come on.
Cheyenne.
Jackson, Wyoming.
No clue.
Cheyenne. And we're going to miss you guys. It's a shame that you're going away.
There you go. 4 answers. Pinky is picking up 2 points. Jim and Tom picking up 1 each. And that is Fritz on the street.
Good job, Fritz. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's it brought to us by, Fritz?
The Fort Fritz Podcast, F-O-R-T. You can download the absolutely free iHeartRadio app. You can search for it or just go to realradio.fm. It's an audio drama. There's about 300 sound effects each episode.
Really?
And it's a whole bunch of spooky stories.
Are you doing
stories.
A drama?
Mm-hmm.
It is dramatic.
Yep. Is that new?
No, we've been doing it for 2 years now. We just wrapped up season 2.
Why did I get the idea you were sitting and talking to interviewing people about ghosts and UFOs?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
Maybe it's the way he sold it.
Probably. But yeah, check it out, Fort Fritz.
Drama.
Yeah, it's a drama.
It's like a radio play.
It's an unscripted drama.
I know what it is, Pink.
We have kind of like an outline, and you know, we know where to go, but we just kind of riff, and then if it's funny, we go.
Oh, there's not a script.
Nope.
You just have a general. Okay, here's what's going on, yep. And
then we edit.
That's a prison breakout. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. And we go 1, 2, 3. Ah! Start screaming.
Can you give me a general idea what it's about?
Yeah, so the premise is I inherit a haunted mansion from my late Uncle Felix, and I, with the caveat, I have to stay one night in the haunted house, you know, the old trope, and I'm a scaredy cat, and I play the bumbling idiot, and my friends are trying to talk me out of it, and we end up getting into crazy misadventures.
Was there a cartoon like that before?
Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. Is this a Scooby-Doo kind of ripoff?
It is. Yep. You got it.
Like Zoinks.
It's exactly.
Yeah, Zoinks. That's right.
Yep, that's our first episode. It's called Episode 1, Zoinks.
All right, let's count up the points.
Jim winning the day is Pinkman with 17.
Yeah.
I had 14 points.
Yeah. Oh.
Jim, 13. And Tom comes in with 12 points.
Jeez, Tom. Come on, buddy.
Best days ever for a first-timer. That means half of that, 6 points, goes to Moira Casey and C-Lane, who were not here today.
All right, we got a grand total.
Overall standings, Jim, yeah, it's not even close for you. You are at 488.
Thank you.
Tom is 12. Moira now is 396. I have 443. Pinkman has 441. Pinkman,
we got to do it next Tuesday.
2 points behind.
Fritz.
However, next Tuesday, we may not be able to play the game. I don't know why yet, but I'm thinking about finding a way to cancel it.
Is that true?
What? No. Why? No. I was like, we literally just talked about this.
Well, I didn't know I would have the lead. That's when it was in question.
You guys are going to be. You're not going to be able. I'm not going to be able to live with you guys for a couple of days.
It's yeah, but against
your stomach is going to be in knots.
Yeah, it's two against one because Pinkman has someone on his side who texts us. And I think it must be related to him because I think he has a gay lover who's texting us support throughout the game.
Why they got to be a gay lover,
and
bro?
Taunting me. Okay.
Taunting you?
You have a lawyer, just a plain lover on the side?
No, I also have a gay lawyer.
All right. Thank you, Fritz. Good job.
A new
thank
segment
you
on the file.
Thank you.
We'll find some drive home music for you, then PPT at the end of the program before we hand it over to Tom and Dan. And let me remind you that the Phillips file, the official Phillips file, comes to an end next Tuesday. Then we have a tribute program the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then some best of shows for that Thursday and Friday. And then Jim Colbert will be taking over Monday, November 26th. I don't want to say taking over. It's going to be the Jim Colbert Show between the hours of 3 and 7 on Real Radio 104.1. Gonna check out the news. Here's Big Daddy.
Thank you, Big Jim Weasel. A robbery suspect from Chicago is facing charges after authorities caught him using a stolen phone to order a food delivery on the Uber Eats app. He sure was hungry, but no one ever accused him of being smart. Next, El Chapo has promised not to kill any jurors in his trial. That's very nice of you, Mr. Drug Lord, to not kill anyone. Finally, white residents trying to form Newtown near Atlanta say they aren't racist, they just want a cheesecake factory. It's like the Beastie Boys always said, you've gotta fight, for your right, to cheesecake. Headlines were brought to you by the free iHeartRadio app. Whether you say OK Google or Alexa, always make sure you say play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio. Obity obity obity, that's all, folks.
Call now for person, place, or thing. 407-916-1041.
Cause I'm my-
Don't forget, the Jim Colbert Show will be taking over the Monday following Thanksgiving week, starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right after Sean, the news junkie, with Sabrina and C-Lane. What else is going on? Tom is our producer for the day. He and his wife graciously contributed $400 to Crimeline during a charity event. And we said, well, with that kind of money for Crimeline, you can stop on by. Actually scored some points with Fritz on the Street.
Did very well.
Yeah, not too bad there.
Kicked ass.
Yeah, he refuses to tell us what he does for a living. I think he's a U2 spy pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like the type, doesn't he?
Yeah. You know, he looks like, you know, I'm trying to think who he looks like. He looks a little bit like, who is the prosecuting attorney on Law & Order?
Sam Waterston?
Yeah, doesn't he look a little bit like Sam Waterston?
Maybe he's got it like, pinch his face up a little and squint his eyes.
He looks a little bit.
There you go.
He's like. And who is the congressman from California who retired?
Frank Thompson.
No, it was Issa. What's his name? Issa? Was that his last name? The Republican? Yeah, you take him and Sam Waterston, put them together, and you got Tom.
Yeah. Tom the spy.
Yeah, Tom. He's that. You know.
There's some secret government, you know, secrets. That guy holds secrets, you can tell.
Yeah, if I was a spy, I wouldn't say anything either.
Yeah, you know? Can't confirm or deny.
He's got that secret I spy type watch, you know, you can't tell the time. He's got the secret combination. He's like a watch like you got.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living? I have a job, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he wants to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave him alone. Okay, where are we? We got some texts coming in. Last minute texts, Tom, what do they say?
I got one here, Jim, says, I began listening to your talk show the day of the Pulse shooting. Ooh. When I tuned in, Jim was speaking, and I found his sincerity and genuine grief appealing. I've been listening ever since from Walpole, Massachusetts, 3 miles from Gillette Stadium, and 20 miles southwest of Boston as the crow flies.
Yeah, go Sox. Old Whitey Bulger territory, right?
Oh, boy.
Next one, Jim. Jim, thanks for 20 years of laughter and annoyance. I'll definitely miss the file. I think you should drive an ice cream truck.
Yeah, that's a steady. It's a steady job, I guess.
Music, wouldn't that drive you absolutely nuts after a while? That's over and over, over and over and over. I'm great with kids, of course.
Yeah, and that song on a loop.
No, you don't. Oh, you want one of those chocolate bars? I don't think so. Here.
Take a blow pop.
Take this popsicle.
This is a clown, Jim.
Get out of here.
Exactly. That always works. You paint on the side free candy. That always works well with the police.
And the last one here, Jim, is Jim, you'll definitely be missed, but I can't wait to see you in the Villages.
Yeah, I might be up there playing a little pickleball. Yeah, last place I'll go. By the way, it's the Jim Colbert Show. Starts Monday, November 26th. Other things are in the works that I can't speak about right now. But that's just the way that it is. What am I going to do? I'm not quite sure yet. I take the microphone, travel the world, and as I say, the first place I go when somebody points to the microphone says, "What's that? What's that?" That's where I say, "This is where I'm retiring." Maybe a podcast? I don't know.
From the desk of Jim Phillips.
Might write a book about the astronaut bars.
Nice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Plenty of things to do.
How about a podcast with a theme that you inherited a haunted house?
And I like it. What a great idea. Like, I could like put together this spontaneous radio drama.
It's a waste of time.
And call it Fort Phillips with a PH.
Yeah, maybe two L's. All right, let's play a little bit of Person, Place, or Thing. What is the prize for PPT?
A pair of tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra's The Ghost of Christmas Eve.
Ooh. Tom, what happened to your wife? Is she...
She's sitting here. I thought she
might have been sacked out on the sofa in there.
No, we only had a nap. We only had three chairs. We moved Tom in with you, so now Linda can sit down.
I don't know if she might have been a little bit dehydrated because Tom locked her in the car for the first hour of the show.
That's right.
Yeah, I put down the window, so told you that.
All right, let's get it underway. Patrick, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right, Patrick, person, place, or thing. Pick one, buddy.
Let's go with a place.
Let's go with a place. All right, thanks to Brad for the category. Thank you, Brad. Before morphing into its present state, this place gained independence from Spain during the 1800s. Oh, this is easy.
No more clues, huh?
Yeah, sorry, I don't have anything for you.
That one's too easy, you're saying.
Well, yeah, I think so. Yeah, before morphing into its present state, this place gained independence from Spain during the 1800s.
Let's say New York.
New York. All right, New York.
That's your final answer?
No, I'm sorry, not New York. All right. Here we go. Mark, you ready? Clue number two.
Sure.
Who knew it entered the Korean War in a direct military role as an ally of the United States? I did not know that. Before morphing into its present state, this place gained independence from Spain during the 1800s. It entered the Korean War in a direct military role as an ally of the United States.
I'm going to go with Mexico.
Mexico.
That's your final answer?
Sure.
No, sorry, not Mexico.
Mexico.
Not a lot of time left.
It's not going to live it down, right?
Never.
Here we go. Josh. You ready? Clue number three? Here we go. Oh, I see. It is one of the most ethnically and linguistically diverse countries in the world. I don't know that either.
Can you say that clue one more time?
Yeah. Oh, I see. It is one of the most ethnically and linguistically diverse countries in the world.
I have zero clue.
Oh, come on, man.
Portugal.
Portugal, okay, Portugal.
That's your final answer.
No, it's not Portugal, but you know, see, a little bit of you know, effort, and you came up with an attempted answer. Well, it wasn't an attempted answer; it was an answer. It was just wrong. Where am I going, Marcus? You ready?
I'm ready. Hey, just want to say it's a privilege. You know, listen to you all these years. Since 1993, I've been listening to you. And even though we don't agree politically, I still love you.
Well, I appreciate those. Those are very kind words. I do appreciate it. So I'll give you clue number four. And because you had such kind words, I'll probably give you an extra clue. Because I love the ass kissing. I really do. It works wonders with me. It always has. All right, here you go. South of the isthmus, its rivers empty into both the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. Yeah, I'll give you a clue. Think of a restaurant in Tampa. Think of a restaurant in Ybor City.
Oh, I get it.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Come on. south of the isthmus. Its rivers empty in both the into both the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. I'm thinking flan. I'm thinking arroz con pollo.
Mm-hmm. Paella. Mm-hmm.
Vaca frita. Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Jeez.
Yeah, you've been there probably.
I've been there.
Have you been to Ybor City?
I actually just went there, but I didn't go into any Mexican restaurant.
That's not a Mexican restaurant.
Right, well, like, okay.
Come on. Oh, you're going to pull it right out of your butt. I can. Come on. Wait a minute. I'll give you another clue.
Okay.
I think of sportswear. Anybody get
sportswear.
It? Sportswear.
Sportswear? No.
Yes.
You never heard of that?
I get it.
Yeah.
Nike.
No.
Sportswear.
No. Come on, running out of time.
I'm
on.
Champion?
No, not champion.
Sportswear.
This place gained Puma. Independence from Spain. No, I mean, it gained independence from Spain during the 1800s. I don't know of any place called Puma. I mean, there might be a place, but it's not. You never know. Or Nike. Come on. Try anything.
I'm trying.
All right. I got to let you go. I'm running out of time. Oh, there we go. That's the way it goes. All right, Dave, here we go. You probably know the answer by now, but I'll give you clue number five, all right?
Good, please.
Omani. It is named for a famed sailing explorer. It serves as the backdrop for Narcos.
Oh, I never watched Narcos. Okay.
Oh, you're missing a great show.
True that.
And I heard that, but I look at drugs. Drugs and me are not the, you know, whatever.
What's wrong with you?
Dave, drugs are cool, man.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No, I did my share, probably your share too. So.
Well, that's rude. My parents raised a good boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dude, think of that. Yeah, there's a famous restaurant in Ybor City. It's been there forever. As a matter of fact, I think there's another one on Disney property, isn't there?
There's one in St. Augustine.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking Managua or something like that.
That's Nicaragua. I'm thinking of a country. It's south of Nicaragua. Southeast, I think.
Just south of Nicaragua is Costa Rica.
It's farther southeast than that. Might be south. But it's okay, you gotta go south.
There's Panama.
Nah, you can keep going. Keep going.
Keep going further south.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, we got Guatemala.
Nah. You're looking at the map. Come on, keep going.
I'm not
down.
Looking at the map. I'm going from my head here.
Well, all right, keep going. You're heading in the right direction. You just haven't landed in the right country.
It's east of that, so.
Hello, come on.
Oh, I don't. I honestly have no clue. I'd love to see Trans-Siberian Access.
All right, here we go. Think of South America. Let's just start to rattling off countries in South America.
Start with the A's and then.
What are you doing?
Aruba.
No, it's not Aruba. That's an island. So we got Brazil, we got Argentina, we got Peru, we got Chile, Bolivia, right? What else do we have?
We got Brazil. We got Venezuela.
Paraguay.
Paraguay, Uruguay.
Uruguay.
The only one left is.
And now that it's talk about pressure, I have no idea.
Dude.
You're killing me.
We're killing you.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. If Tom, who's our producer for the day, has the right answer, I'll give you the prize.
Whoa, no pressure, Tom.
Oh.
All right, Tom. All right,
no
think about
pressure.
It, Tom.
Come on.
Come on, Tom.
To run through
you
the
can
clues.
Do it, Tom. Run through all those countries that you visited when you were an exchange student. Remember?
No, he did mercenary work
Argentina?
There.
He's thinking about it.
He's
scratching his head now.
He's thinking about all those countries that he used to backpack through in South America.
And now he's itching. He's itching all over.
All right, Tom.
I remember doing drugs in Colombia. Was that the one?
Colombia. Tom said Colombia.
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, good job.
Nice done.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, well, that'll do it to you. You know, that memory loss. I've been there, too. All right, let's get out of here. Good show today. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom's wife, for making a major contribution to Crime Line. Thank you very much. Did a great job today. I hope you had fun. We're back tomorrow at 3, right after Shawnee's The News Junkie with Sabrina and C-Lane. They follow the Monsters in the Morning. Tom and Dan are next. So tonight, eat dessert first. Grin like a dog, wander aimlessly, pound your conch as often as you can, buy your books with cash, and eat some ants. Bye-bye and take care.
Good night, Penny. Good night, Will. Remember, brush your teeth.